Andrea, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you doing the news. It's so nice of you. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder.
I appreciate her pulling the chair out for me. You're quite a gentleman.
What a gentlewoman. How come that's not a phrase? How come nobody ever says gentlewoman? You are a gentlewoman.
Well, you know, otherwise I would have like slammed it into the wall and then she wouldn't have been able to get in. So I don't want to trip and fall.
No, that's nobody's goal, is to hurt you. We want everybody to be happy and safe and healthy, of course.
How come I don't have to sit in the Star Wars chair anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Or Star Trek.
I left the chair all hot yesterday. That's that leather chair. It looks like the Spock chair.
You guys are messing with me.
Why would you say that? We're not messing with you.
Because they made you sit in the chair the other day, too, right?
Right.
They say, the engineers say, and I'm sure there's a method to this madness, but that the acoustics are better in that chair.
I don't believe it.
I didn't notice a difference.
That's what I mean. You guys are messing with me.
No, seriously. That's what they
there
said.
Are. Here's what we have here in the beautiful showcase studios of Allstate. We have standard office chairs, which work perfectly, and then there are chairs that look so much like Star Trek chairs that one time when I was filling in on weekends, I sent a torpedo blast to the Klingons in that chair.
Excellent job.
I destroyed a whole Klingon
ship.
To the
bridge, number one.
That's what those chairs look like. They're very futuristic, and the engineers will tell you, as Andrea said, they believe that you get a richer, deeper sound when you sit in those chairs, but I don't see.
Need richer and deeper.
I mean, seriously? Right.
I don't, because it was funny. There was a phone call that came in on the bat phone that said, change Wendy's chair.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I noticed you sat in that chair, and she has got a hot tuchus.
Mm-hmm.
It was smoking hot when I sat on this chair.
There's seat warmers in that chair, by the way, too.
You have a seat warmer,
like,
my friend. My gentlewoman.
I have.
We're getting texts from some of our Jewish listeners. They're wishing us a happy Chatukis, which is one of the Jewish holidays that we're celebrating this time of year.
Don't you take the Jewish holidays off and the Catholic holidays?
I take off
how
everybody's holidays. I take all of Ramadan off. I take like their
Kwanzaa.
I'm always off for.
Yeah.
Whatever holiday somebody's celebrating, I'm in. I want
like
in on that.
That's in your deal?
It's in my deal. I have to ask you both a question and tell me if this makes any kind of sense to you.
Nope.
It doesn't? You don't even know what it is yet, but it doesn't make sense.
I know
sense.
You. What she said.
Listen to this and tell me how this could possibly happen, okay? My wife accidentally, when she was doing the laundry yesterday.
I like the accidentally.
Accidentally.
Right, yeah, right.
That was, means listening.
She screwed up and he's trying
to,
put
that
sugar
this was
on it.
Accidental.
Okay, let's go.
She accidentally had her cell phone in the pockets of one of her pants as she did the wash, and it washed the cell phone.
Done.
So, have you done this?
It's my biggest.
It's
finished. Okay, she realizes because she's looking all over for the cell phone. She can't find it anywhere. We're trying to figure out what could have happened to it. And then it hits her, oh, no, they were in my pants from yesterday. So when the cycle is over, she takes the phone out.
What does her period have to do with
you know what I mean. When
this?
The wash cycle is over, when the wash cycle is over,
yes.
I want to apologize to everybody. The cell phone is as cached can be. It doesn't work, and it's never going to work.
No,
it's done, right?
It just went through, 16 rinses.
Exactly.
Maybe she just wants one of the new smartphones.
Maybe, Mare. That's a good idea. Here's what she does instinctively. She says, we have to put it in rice immediately. I go, oh, yeah, put it in rice, because that'll work. She puts it in rice for 6 hours, no more, no less. Brings it out, presses the button. It's as good as new.
Get out of
You've
here.
How can that?
Haven't you ever heard of that?
Never.
I have, but I've never tried it because I didn't think it was true.
I know
I've
a lot
never
of
heard
people
of it. From
have
someone
done
who
it.
Like orders pizza every night, what does rice mean?
What?
Why, right? No, well, you
why
know
do you put your phone in rice?
I can't
figure
that out.
It absorbs the water.
Yes, it dries it out.
It
has to be instant rice, I'm pretty sure, because it sucks in the moisture.
Yeah.
You just put it in a box of rice?
In a Tupperware
cooked
container
rice.
Of rice. She
no,
buried it in
not
there.
Cooked
not
rice.
Cooked.
Not cooked?
No,
no, no, no, no. No, no,
not
no. Because it needs to draw out the moisture
right.
from what's in the
no
phone. But I thought you're
way.
Supposed to disassemble the phone.
She did not disassemble it. She put it in 100% the way the phone would be. And all I know is
dried rice.
The phone works perfectly. And we had some delicious rice pilaf as a side dish all at the same time. I can't figure out why. I'm obviously not a scientist.
Because if instant rice, you make it in the microwave, you just put water in it, or you do it on the stovetop, and it's like little tiny sponges, and it sucks in all the moisture in the pot to get fluffy and be prepared.
How did somebody figure this out, though? Who knew this? Is this Bill Nye behind this, the science guy?
Yes, he is.
Who figured out?
It's amazing that you guys knew that. I would have never known that.
But I never tried
it. Thing.
It is? It can't be that old.
I never had to do it, but I
heard Mary. My grandparents used to do it.
Mary, you don't. Cooked rice, it would be worse.
Well, I never did it, so I didn't know what it was, actually. I just heard people did it. They never say whether it was cooked or
amazing. Will that work with when I wash my lipstick?
Yes, it works with everything.
I do. I'll carry like a tube of lipstick around, and I wash that.
If you have like a shop accident where you cut off a finger or something, if you put it in rice, and I don't know why, but the next day it'll all be like good as new again. I can't believe it, because I was making fun of her going, yes, absolutely put it in rice, because Uncle Ben was at the forefront of science. He knew exactly how to fix electronics. He's a genius, Uncle Ben. It works like never before has it worked this good. I can't believe it.
I'm amazed.
All right. Well, there is some good advice coming out, because there was a giant rainstorm a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, torrential rains. I had my iPhone in my back pocket and actually thought about this when I pulled up at the gas station. Do I want the front of my car to be covered or the back?
Right.
I chose the wrong side. So I'm filling up the gas tank. I mean, it was just coming down, and I went to use my iPhone, and the volume didn't work. But the rest of the phone did.
Yeah.
Well, what's an iPhone if your volume doesn't work?
Sure.
So I took it into the geniuses, and they said, oh, well, there's a little red dot saying it had water damage. And I said, okay, I'm sorry I didn't drop it in the toilet. It rained the other day. I can't believe they're so sensitive. But I should have put it in rice and tried to see if it sucked out the moisture.
It fixes everything, and they are sensitive, because I watched The Notebook with my phone, and it cried all the way through the whole movie. Both I and my phone cried so much. Yeah.
Well, so try it, people, but it has to be uncooked rice.
Right. And for
instant.
Why the six, like, she knew instinctively, and it has to
you
be for 6 hours.
Yeah.
You said, yeah.
But I thought, yeah, right, that works.
It works. Cow. It's fantastic.
I can't believe that.
One other quick thing. Yesterday I talked about a video that had, as the kids like to say, gone viral.
Oh, I thought of you.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was a hoax.
We talked about the twerking video with the girl who's twerking. And again, if people are not familiar with the phrase, don't feel bad. It just means dancing suggestively.
I called it tweaking yesterday.
Tweaking. Right? It's twerking. It's twerking. So she falls. A friend of hers opens the door, and she falls, breaks a glass table, and then catches her leg on fire. People have been talking about this all over the place. I mentioned it yesterday. It's on our Facebook page.
I said I saw it on America's Funniest Videos.
It was on there. It was everywhere, right? We find out last night that it's all a setup from Jimmy Kimmel. He was behind it all the way. They showed the whole video where you saw the same footage you had seen before, but then Jimmy Kimmel comes in from the next room with a fire extinguisher and knocks the fire out.
And it shows them prepping, too. Like, they're planning it and going through the
Brilliant
steps.
Move.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Brilliant move.
And you're surprised that that's fake?
I am surprised that it's fake.
When you about that yesterday,
I like to think, don't you, like, at some point in your life go, okay, I've been fooled enough times to know when I am and I'm not being fooled. Like, I was watching this going, but they wouldn't have really made this girl's leg catch on fire. It turns out she's a stunt woman. She's been in dozens of TV shows and movies.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
I know.
Although, kudos to Jimmy Kimmel.
Kudos to Jimmy Kimmel. And when I saw this and I saw her leg on fire, the first thought I had was, put it in some rice. You will be okay if you put it in some rice.
Rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
That's the key.
Yes.
That's what you need to do. All right, stick around. We have a full show ahead. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. I believe, Wendy, that is the official Chicago way to say the coach's name. Mm-hmm. How is this pronounced again?
Ditka. Ditka.
Coach Ditka.
I find it very amusing that Bill was listening to some audio, and he said, if I'm not back, just turn yourself on.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about doing that exactly?
I can't say that on the air.
Twerking.
But, like, I don't know how to do this. Thank you, though.
There's so many buttons here, Wendy. I just hit them at random. I hope for the best. Tell me if you think this is a good idea or not. This is started in Brazil.
Oh,
but
already.
You already like it?
Yeah.
They want to bring it to the United States, but they're testing it in Brazil. Here is what it is. Domino's has partnered up with a DVD rental place, and what they want to do is, what they're already doing it in Brazil, while you're watching your movie, you put in a DVD. While you're watching the movie, the DVD lets out the scent of pizza, so that subliminally, as you're watching the movie, you think to yourself, well, I'm having a good time now, but boy, wouldn't some pizza go down right about now?
I smell pizza.
Yeah.
I find that to be an intriguing idea, and I would partake in it.
Wouldn't you think, though, and I'm sure if I'm thinking of this, Domino's has already thought about this, it's great that you've already planted that idea in somebody's head that pizza would work really well with the movie, but there's so many different pizza options. Wouldn't they also maybe on the DVD cover put some sort of a Domino's coupon or maybe their logo or something so that automatically in your head you put it all together and go, I'm thinking pizza right there on the box. It says Domino's. That's my call.
Yeah, but, you know, did you ever tell someone, see, this is my biggest pet peeve. When you have people over and you order a pizza and you say, what do you want on it?
Anything. And, just, right. Whatever you want.
And then I say, if you were alone in a room and you had a last meal, what would be on your pizza?
Right.
Because no one can ever say. Yeah. So then I'll get what I want and everyone eats mine.
Sure, of course.
It's like you pre-decide what it is you're going to eat.
Right.
And about how, and I always get too much because it's good the next day for breakfast cold.
Sure. Delicious.
But if you say anything,
should be anything.
Then if I suggest, oh, you want half cheese, half sausage? Yes. Then don't eat my garlic
exactly.
and mushroom and spinach.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, the other thing people do is if you say, we're ordering pizza, did you want any? No, you know, I just ate about 40 minutes ago. I couldn't possibly. But once it gets there, somehow magically they're hungry.
You know
every
what
time.
The magic is?
What?
It's the scent.
It is the scent.
Because a coupon, you could go, oh, yeah, I'll remember that for next time. But if you smell it, even
right.
if you're not hungry, you'll
right.
eat it.
Cold Stone a couple years ago started doing a thing, and I don't know if they still do it, but whenever you walked into their ice cream parlors, they either had waffle cones being made at the time or they somehow pumped in the scent of waffle cones, because I was in there plenty of times where they weren't making waffle cones, and I go, you guys are doing something. What are you guys doing? That's our trade secret. Yeah, they were enticing me. Exactly.
See, that's genius.
They also talk about how at movie theaters, they do that with the smell of popcorn. Even when fresh popcorn isn't being made, there's some sort of an aerosol that they spray in the lobby with the smell of popcorn that makes you want to buy things.
Don't you use that as your cologne?
Yes. I have officially switched from High Karate to the scent of popcorn.
Oh, de popcorn.
It's Orville Redenbacher's been experimenting with it for years and years, and I'm just a guinea pig, but I'm proud to represent them. I really am.
Well, the smell will suck you in,
oh,
literally, as you suck that in.
Every
and
time.
There are things in life that smell better than they taste.
Like what? Give me an example.
Popcorn, movie popcorn.
Always
to me,
smells better?
The smell is better than the actual
really, yeah.
eating of it.
Yeah.
Coffee. You don't drink coffee. Doesn't
Never.
It smell good to you?
I'm one of the only people on the planet that doesn't like the taste or the smell of coffee. Because even friends of mine who don't drink it go, but you gotta love the smell. No, because the smell in my head leads to the taste that I don't like the taste.
All right, marijuana.
Neither nor. I'm
it
not a fan.
It smells good, and I don't want it. I like the smell of it.
Is that why you go to Cheech and Chong Film Festivals
exactly.
every weekend?
They pump that in.
Do they really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, actually, they don't.
I didn't
it's
know
just
that.
People torching up in the middle of the theater.
I love, you know, I'm fine with stuff subliminal. For instance, I'm sure you know this. For years and years and years, they don't do it anymore because I'm almost positive it's illegal now. But they used to, in theaters, they would put, I don't know the exact frame rate, but when they would show movies in theaters, they would put, they would show you a Coca-Cola, you know, with ice and fizz coming out of it, or they would show you popcorn, and they would put in like one frame every 10,000 frames, but it was enough for your brain to go, oh yeah, Coca-Cola, that'd be pretty good right now, you know?
And that was in the actual film?
Yeah, they would splice it into the film. Like when it was sent to theaters, like the filmmakers themselves weren't doing it, but when they would send it to a theater complex, they would go, all right, put in a frame here, put in a frame there, put in a frame there, and it would work. Their sales would go up.
When was the subliminal advertising very popular? Because remember the Farrah Fawcett poster.
With the word sex in her, the curls of her hair.
In the curls of her hair.
Yeah.
I never really saw that. I was busy looking at something else. Well, you've got to admire a lovely woman.
Of course you do. Why
wouldn't
you?
God rest her soul.
God rest her soul. It probably peaked somewhere in the 70s. There was a book. Oh, I can't remember the name of the book. But somebody illustrated how in so many ads, and they used that poster, they used the Farrah Fawcett sex poster as a perfect example, that either the word sex was spelled out somehow, sometimes subliminally, sometimes not subliminally, but in almost everything, in almost every effective ad campaign where they were selling you on one thing, they were really selling you on sex. Surprise. But in the Farrah Fawcett one, it was so clear cut in the curls of her hair, you could spell out S-E-X so easily. I don't know if it was their intention when they took the picture.
Yes.
But what was it?
I
think it was?
So. I think, you know, was Photoshop popular back then?
I don't think it was in existence back then.
But like anyone needs to subliminally suggest sex.
Right.
I mean, really, that's kind of a waste of time, isn't it?
It's not a lot of people's minds anyway.
Exactly. Unless
your last name is Osmond, I think it's on a lot of people's minds.
It might be. With
even if your name is Osmond, yes. They have a lot of kids. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want to mention this. In Washington, D.C., they are now thinking about instituting what they're calling a 24-hour waiting period for tattoos and for piercings. If you want to get a tattoo, if you want to get a piercing, it's not just as easy as going to a tattoo parlor anymore. You have to go up, you have to sign in with a timestamp, and then 24 hours later, if you still want it, you can come back and you'll get it. That would be a law in Washington, D.C. Good idea or bad idea?
It depends on the age.
Yeah?
I think.
What would you go with, 18 and over?
Yeah, I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
You have to be 21 to drink. What about to smoke? 18?
I think it's 18.
Is that 21?
I think it's 18.
Because I'll tell you, I've wanted a tattoo my entire life.
You don't have any?
Well, I have one.
You have one on your lower leg, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, sure.
But it's one of those things that I wanted to get when I first started in radio. I wanted one on my ankle. And the whole reason I didn't get it is because it's something that's with you forever.
Yep.
And each day I would think of something new. So what do I do? And, you know, so finally at 45, I decided to get one.
Is that when you did it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So, my kids were like, ew, that's gross, Mom. You know?
Really?
Yeah. They just, we're not big, but they're young. Yeah. They're young kids and they're boys.
Well, also, think about this. If you're a young boy, you don't want to think about your mom getting a tattoo. That loses some of its luster. You want to think about other people getting a tattoo, but if somebody goes, hey, I saw your mom's tattoo, that's working. You don't want to hear that. Thanks.
No, you don't. And you don't want to think of your mom with a tramp stamp.
Never.
But I didn't do that. Just on my ankle. And I love hibiscus. It represents our honeymoon. We went to Hawaii, so I got a hibiscus and kind of a tribal thing on my ankle.
Oh, nice. A friend of mine.
Don't regret it. And now I want another one.
Are you going to get another one?
I might.
A friend of mine
is going to say Bill. The heart around it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What an honor. A friend of mine is a huge Disney fan, and she got a Lady and the Tramp stamp. Have you ever seen those? Those are hard to find.
Minnie got one of those.
Yeah, Minnie Mouse has one of those. How did you decide on what you got? Was that a long process?
At 45, a bunch of women in the neighborhood that were turning 45 said, you know what? Let's all go get tattoos.
You did it as a group?
We did go as a group, and it was fun to me because... 45 years old.
Yeah,
we can do it.
Absolutely.
We can do whatever we want. And it's so funny because some of the moms didn't tell their kids.
Oh.
And Jimmy Mack ran into one of the moms in Starbucks with her daughter and said, oh, Karen, I heard about the tattoos. And she's like, ixnay, ixnay. And the high school daughter said, Mom,
what
really?
Tattoo?
So, I mean, really.
Wow.
I told my kids when they're in their 40s, they can get a
tattoo. Then you can get a tattoo. That's the new law. When you're in your 40s, you can get whatever you want done. I told you what I always wanted to get done, right? I want a tattoo of Hervé Valachez, because how cool would it be to say, look, I got a tattoo. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be great, Bill. When's that happening? Can we do it live
when
on
I'm
the
in
air?
My 40s.
Deplane.
That's what it would say, Mayor. That's exactly what it would say.
Hey, listen, I had a tattoo party at my house, so I could set that up. If you guys want a tattoo in the studio, yeah.
What did you get?
I kind of did the Wendy thing there. We did all girls, 10 of us, and we all got them at my house.
Is yours visible?
No, I forget I even have it. I made a mistake. I put it on my back, not in my middle of my back, not the, what do they call that?
The tramp stamp area.
No tramp stamp
back
for me.
Back of your shoulder?
But it's on the bottom, but it's off to the side. It's three little hearts for my three little girls.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it really, really hurt.
Of course it did.
Angelina Jolie has a really, well, all right, maybe she's pushed it to the limit. But I like the concept of hers. The latitude and longitude lines of where her children were conceived.
Oh, man.
That is so weird.
I just don't remember. And,
it's
you know,
so her. Yeah, really.
Wendy, you'd have one of the Target parking lot. All right.
Walmart,
we've got a full
though.
Show ahead. Stick around. It's Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff. It's WGN. Judy, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. All kinds of stuff on today's show. I quickly have a question for you, though, Steve Alexander.
Yes.
You brought it up briefly in the business report, and I'm curious, with everything that's going on in Syria, is this more a United States market concern? Or my guess is it would be a global market concern,
wouldn't
it?
It's a global concern, but what happens on Wall Street kind of dictates what happens around the world. So we're the Or the tail that wags the dog, I guess?
Yep.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah, I think so. It could be the other way
around. Dog that wag the tail.
I'm not a pet owner, so I'll defer to Wendy on this. I've never seen a dog or a tail, so I'll just whatever Wendy says.
Steve Dale coming up.
Later on today, yes. So what happens over the next couple of days, as you've pointed out, is fairly critical to the world market, right?
Oh, yeah. The traders abhor instability.
Yep.
They just, any sign of instability, they run the other way. They try to take their profits and get out before things go south. And
mm-hmm.
So that's what we saw when the Syria talk first began. And now that there seems to be at least reports of maybe we're getting farther away from there being a U.S. attack
mm-hmm.
on Syria, well, the traders like that.
Good.
So let's get back in.
That all thanks to Kenneth Cole and his tweet.
Yes. Kenneth Cole fixed it all for us. Thank you,
God.
Kenneth Cole.
You.
We appreciate it. Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Nice tattoo, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you mean Wendy.
Yeah. No, you mean your tattoo.
Mine is a Cracker Jack tattoo, so I don't get a whole lot of compliments on it. It's just temporary. Let us now talk to Rob Sheffield. Rob is a fine writer for Rolling Stone magazine, where he writes about music and pop culture and things of that nature. His latest book is called Turnaround Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. Rob, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Really good. We appreciate you being here. Settle a bet with me, Rob. Karaoke, I said a little while ago, may be an art form. Is it an art form? Is it not an art form?
It is the only art form.
The only art form.
It's my favorite anyway.
You know how Facebook lets everyone have an opinion? Karaoke lets everyone be a star.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's a great comparison.
Thank you very much.
It democratizes the whole process.
But, Rob, you'll know the history of karaoke far more than me, but just by the name alone, anyone can figure it out. It started in the East. In Asian culture, it became popular and then somehow segued into the Western culture. How did that happen? Was that an easy transition?
It's strange what a fast transition that was. As soon as Americans started to see karaoke and get an idea of what it was, we wanted it. I don't know if you remember the movie When Harry Met Sally.
Sure.
In the 80s. There they didn't even have the word karaoke. They just called it a singing machine.
Mm-hmm.
But, even just seeing that, people said, ooh, what is that? That looks fun. And it's really funny that as karaoke spread, even 20 years ago, really it was just the big cities on the coast that had karaoke, and now every town has its karaoke night.
And karaoke is a Japanese word meaning, oh, great, islands in the stream again, isn't it?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Isn't it actually pronounced karaoke?
It is, isn't it?
I mean, because when it first came here and became popular, everyone would say karaoke.
Right, right.
So it's karaoke now? Is that the Americanized
pronunciation? What's the right way to say it, Rob?
That's pretty much the right Americanized way to say it. The Japanese word means empty orchestra, and that the kara in karaoke is actually the same as the kara in karate, which is empty hand. They're both art forms where you don't have any weapon or any instrument or any kind of tool to guide you. You just have to go on your nerve.
I like this even better now that it has some Eastern mystical qualities behind it.
Well, you say there's no weapon involved, but honestly, Rob, I've seen a couple of people and their voice becomes their weapon. You know what I mean.
I guess that's just like karaoke is just like karate that way, too. It's just your will to inflict pain.
Right. That's absolutely right. And much like karate, if you say it wrong in front of the right person, they will correct you very, very briskly, won't they?
Well, anybody who's a karaoke pronunciation purist is probably one of the 2% world's saddest human beings.
And they're probably not very good at it.
Yeah,
either.
Probably not.
Yes.
Probably not. All right, let's talk about those early days. Was it or was it not a hard sell for America to all of a sudden embrace this?
Well, it's funny. I think everybody expected it was going to be strange. There's even a news report in Billboard that I found from 1986, just explaining to the U.S. music industry what sing-along clubs were and why they were so popular in Japan. And yet, it's a thing where when it started to show up in movies, especially, people saw it and they saw how easy it was, and they saw that anybody can do it, and they realized it looked like fun. Like, if you remember the movie The Crying Game, or
Chinese
movies like My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yep.
At that point, it got to the point where, at this point, every movie now has to have a karaoke scene, no matter what the movie's about.
And I think it started in bars even before the karaoke machine became popular, when you'd put American Pie on the jukebox and every drunk in the bar sang along to it. That's really where it started.
Yep. American Pie or Sweet Caroline for some reason. People just go nuts for it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from an Irish family, and so we're very used to the sort of the late the night when the old ones have had a drink or two, and basically any song turns into that kind of group sing along, and it's a beautiful thing.
I'm sure it was Danny Boy was very popular in your family.
Oh goodness gracious!
Oh Danny Boy,
it's like a national anthem to the Irish people. They love that song.
Mopping us off the floor. After.
Rob, what wasn't there? I don't think I'm imagining this. There was a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow and Huey Lewis, and that was the main focus of the movie was karaoke, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed, duets.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis, really, singing karaoke? Imagine that.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
A duet with Gwyneth Paltrow. They actually had a hit from that movie.
What was it? I don't remember.
Cruisin', the Smokey Robinson song.
Oh, boy. I totally forgot about it.
No one remembers.
I just, it's like way back in my, it's way back in my brain.
One of the most songs ever written.
Was it?
They just, yeah.
Rob Sheffield on the phone with us. I have a quick question. Do you think that a lot of the celebrities had their own spinoff bands because of karaoke? You have your Kevin Bacon, you have your, who's the hot guy who played Gladiator? I can't think of his name.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
That 30-odd foot of grunt?
That's a great
his band.
Name. But do you think that had anything to do with it? Like these celebrities, you know, oh, wow, I can do it, and then they started a band.
Mm. Maybe. It definitely a thing where it makes everything look easier than it is. It's always funny for me how when I'm interviewing rock stars, how much they love karaoke. And it's really funny for actors or singers or any kind of performers. They love sort of getting to karaoke and sort of slumming it in the trenches with the rest of us. Yeah.
Do you know why that's strange to me, though, Rob, is you would think that rock stars would say, well, this oversaturates what we do and it trivializes what we do. It makes anybody believe that they can be a rock star. We're legitimate rock stars, but it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, I think rock stars, they have that fantasy that if they didn't have the name or the reputation to coast on, they could still just walk into any room and just, you know, conquer the room just with their awesome voice. And it's funny. Robert Plant was telling us at Rolling Stone this really, really funny story about singing karaoke a few years ago in China in the countryside, where karaoke is a really big deal, and but where nobody had heard of Led Zeppelin and nobody had any idea who Robert Plant was. And Robert Plant said, well, I'm going to bring down the house. I'm going to give these people Elvis. It's now or never. And he said at the end of the night when the crowd was voting on their favorites, he came in second. He was beaten by a guy from Taiwan singing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree.
That's a travesty.
Did he spell Tie a Yellow Ribbon? Did he spell it T-H-A-I? That's what I would have done. All right, stay where you are. We've got Rob Sheffield, a fine, fine writer for Rolling Stone. His book is called Turnaround Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 or text us at 24720. Back after this, it's WGN. Baby, let's cruise. No way from here. This is Wendy and I from Karaoke Night. I don't know what this is.
Is this Gwyneth?
Oh, this is. This was their big hit from the movie.
And Gwyneth has her own album now and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And her husband sings okay. You don't think so? Chris Martin, you don't think so?
It's nice.
Rob Sheffield, be on my side. The music of Coldplay will live on for centuries. Am I right or am I right?
I agree.
All right, thank you. You're wrong, Wendy.
No, I didn't say Coldplay's yes thing. Or no. It's, right. You know, nice, easy listening.
It is. It really is.
Easy listening.
I like Gwyneth's music, too. She was really funny on the Grammys with CeeLo.
You know, it's really weird, Rob. There was a survey, and I don't remember who put it out. It was about 2 months ago. And they were talking about stars that we, the American public, have had enough of. And she was at the top of the list. And I don't understand that because I think she's a good actress. She can sing. She's on Glee from time to time. She still does movies.
And she's not oversaturated.
I don't think
she's
oversaturated. What's going on there, Rob? Do you know?
I think it's, well, I can't really guess what it is.
I think it's jealousy.
Yeah, people are jealous.
People are jealous of Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think jealousy, I think, you know, like the cookbook and, you know, the vegan kids, I think people
is that
feel
it?
Kind of, she's a celebrity that people feel judged by, yep. I think.
So people were on the maybe people were on the fence, Rob, and once she put out the vegan cookbook, they went, that's it, last straw. I am off the bandwagon for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I think it's temporary, though, because, you know, every time she makes a movie, people are like, wow, she's amazing. Yeah.
She is a great actress.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
So I think the temporary backlash is just a temporary backlash.
Oh, my fingers are crossed. Rob Sheffield is our guest. He's a contributing editor over at Rolling Stone. Writes about pop music, about pop culture. He's put out a book called Turnaround Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. What are some of the rituals, Rob?
Well, you got to kind of obey the house rules, because every place, it's funny how every single place, whatever kind of karaoke place it is, whether it's a posh place or a dive, it has its own sort of regulars and its own sort of atmosphere. And so it's funny how every place just has its own kind of different vibe. There's a place I go to where they say, we only have two rules, no American Pie and no Stairway to Heaven. They're great songs, but they're just too long and sad.
They take up too much time and, you know, give you... It's not fair. Somebody come doing a Beatles tune in, you know, under 2 minutes.
They're done in two, but Inagata DeVita buys you 8.5 minutes.
I've done that.
It's not fair to do.
Oh, man.
That's not fair to do.
I do the mouth guitar as well during it. It's quite a show.
You know, sometimes, like, you can get away with something like Bohemian Rhapsody, because there, you know, there's a part for everybody. People like to come in. You could delegate the Galileos.
Galileo. See, I'm a huge karaoke fan. I know, I've dabbled in singing. My signature song, "These Boots Are Made for Walking," like in a real band, not karaoke.
Right.
So then, when I do the karaoke, I feel, you know, I can do it.
Absolutely.
I'll bet my life Bill has never ever done a karaoke.
Has never, and I can guarantee you will never. It's just not in my DNA. There are some people that live for it. I'm not one of them, Rob. I can't do it.
What about you, Rob?
I'm wearing a Cracker Jack tattoo.
Rob, are you big into the karaoke thing?
I love it. I will do it any chance I get. For me, it's a beautiful thing because it lets anybody participate in music, even those of us with no talent whatsoever.
All right, but you know you have no talent. Be honest. There's plenty of people who do it who think, I could go pro. I'm all right at this. I can do it.
Sometimes you do it, and because those mics sound so good to you and because it's so fun, you get this kind of karaoke hubris. You think, I'm nailing this song.
Yeah. And who is it hurting?
Lionel Richie should hear me, what I'm doing to Evie right now.
I mean, who does it hurt, Bill, if you're
it's
in a bar, which you're not?
The ears of the people in the front row, the second row, the third row.
But no, it's funny. It gives you something to go, oh, look at this. You know how many Frank Sinatra and Elvis impersonators were born from karaoke?
Sure. I know. No, that's true.
I mean, so many.
To my point, that's exactly what our society needs, is more Elvis impersonators. So you bring.
Why don't you try a Perry Como song and become the first Perry Como impersonator out there?
Did you hear that guy's Como? He was dead on. He killed.
He nailed that Como.
He nailed it. Rob, I grew up watching a show, one of the finest in television history, called The Gong Show. I believe that if somebody has the right to go up and sing at a karaoke night, we have the right to gong them and let them know it's time to move on. Don't you think?
Well, the beautiful thing about karaoke, maybe this is the main ritual of karaoke that constantly mystifies and amazes me, is that everybody claps for everybody.
Sure.
Everybody applauds and cheers and
Bill wouldn't.
No, I would. I would boo people.
Even it's really amazing. People just like seeing ordinary people get up there and turn into stars for a few minutes. Even if they're terrible, it creates this sort of all-embracing, all-tolerating environment where everything is forgiven.
All right. Can I tell you a story, Rob, that I'm sure you've heard 1,000 times, and everybody probably knows a version of this. At another radio station, there was a girl who worked in the office that was the quietest, shyest, most mousy girl I have ever met in my life. And she said to me one night, hey, if you're not doing anything Friday, I go to, and she mentioned the name of a bar here in Chicago. I go, what do you do there? And she goes, Janis Joplin. And a big smile on her face. She transformed into Janis Joplin every Friday at karaoke. Does that throw you, or are you used to hearing that?
Well, no, that's amazing. For a lot of people, like, karaoke gives them permission to go out and be loud and obnoxious and star-like and turn their diva side on in a way that nothing else in life does.
Yeah.
Bill, you did stand-up for many years. I mean,
I did karaoke stand-up. I did other people's material. I would do Norm Crosby.
That is a great idea, actually. Why is no one doing that?
Crosby-oke. That would kill.
But, I mean, you're good at it. Yeah. You know, not all of us can get up on a stage and be funny.
Yeah.
So
this is
your
chance to shine.
Well, it gives the common folk a chance to try it.
That's true.
And not everybody's so bad at it.
No, that's true. That's true. Has any, Rob, do you know any stories? Has anybody really hit the big time in music that got their start in karaoke and then somehow ascended the ladder?
No, but
it's never happened.
It never happened. Well, but it's funny because it's karaoke is such a recent phenomenon that I feel like that's going to be the gateway drug for the performers of tomorrow.
Well, look at The Voice and you know, whatever the first one was.
America's Got Talent, yeah. American Idol. They're
yeah,
all the
I
same.
I mean, yeah. It kind of is the same thing. I mean, these people have great voices, but, you know.
Right.
I'll bet you there's going to be a America's Got Karaoke coming up.
Well, haven't there been shows like that, Rob? There have been a TV show or two that have built around karaoke, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, there's always going to be more because people just they love this so much, and the way in the moment it creates this weird sort of community, you know, that the people you're singing karaoke with, it's a room full of strangers. You're never going to see them again, and you're getting up there and you're taking the risk of just completely making a fool out of yourself, and yet it turns this room full of strangers, you know, at 2 a.m, everybody's got their arms around each other singing Don't Stop Believin'.
Yep, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
One more quick question. I want to get away from karaoke for just a little bit. I just need a yes or no. Should we be keeping an eye on Miley Cyrus? I know you've written about her recently. Is she reaching dangerous waters?
I don't think she's reaching dangerous waters, no. I think she's going to be fine. This is a normal part of a Disney Muppet growing up.
It's true, though. And she's going to be on Saturday Night Live.
I know.
I can't believe Vogue ripped her off the cover.
Yes,
that was
they
a
did.
Foolish mistake on their part.
Yes, they did.
It's so weird with people. I mean, I always want to ask people, have you met 20-year-olds? They are weird.
Yep.
They were born in 1993. It's our fault. They're so weird.
We take all the blame. That is Rob Sheffield, fine contributing editor over at Rolling Stone, and his new book, Pick It Up Today, Turn Around Bright Eyes, The Rituals of Love and Karaoke. Rob, it was great talking to you.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
All right, in just a little bit.
I was going to sing karaoke.
Go ahead. Give me three. Oh, we're out of time?
Oh, no. I don't.
Give me three. Can you get 3 seconds? You got to wait till the bridge comes in.
It hasn't started yet. Yeah, really. That's really the only part I know.
All right.
I don't know when to kick in. See, that's where you need the words.
I know. We'll get you a karaoke machine. Stick around. It's
Wendy
Snyder and Bill Lovett, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We have a Facebook page. If you have a computer in your home or office, you can dial us up by going to Facebook and then putting in my name, Bill F., and then Wendy's name, Wendy Snyder. All sorts of interesting things on our Facebook page, including earlier, Wendy, we were talking about subliminal advertising. And there was a book, and it's destroying me that I can't remember the name of this book. I read it a long, long time ago about subliminal messages that have been sent throughout ads or television or movies. And they illustrated the Farrah Fawcett poster, the now famous Farrah Fawcett poster, where the word sex was written in Farrah Fawcett's hair. Stephanie has found that and put it on our Facebook page.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it's all there. Also, the follow-up to the video that fooled everybody in the world, especially me.
You're funny.
With the girl who was twerking.
That filed under pull the wool over Bill's
it's
eyes.
It's not that hard
category.
To do. It's not that hard to do. My wife even said when we watched it, well, this is obviously fake. And I go, but a girl's leg is on fire. Who would do that to themselves? We found out yesterday it was Jimmy Kimmel and the Jimmy Kimmel Show that set that whole thing up. You know what they did? They sent this video to YouTube with nothing flagging it, saying that it was from ABC Television or Jimmy Kimmel. They just said, let's do an experiment and see if we put something outrageous on YouTube, how long it'll take to catch on. And about 3 weeks later, it got 9 million hits.
It wouldn't have, though, if they put, you know, ABC or Jimmy Kimmel.
No, probably not.
Yeah, Subliminal surprise. Seduction, is that the name of the book?
That is the book, Subliminal Seduction. Who wrote it?
Because it's also, it shows that there was advertising in the way the ice cubes were in glasses. That's on the cover.
Yes.
And I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a really good book. I read it a couple of years ago. It's really, really good. What sort of a driver are you? Are you, when you're behind the wheel, are you pretty much the same person that you are here now, or are you a much more violent or more sedate person?
I am pretty hot-headed, impatient, and will not let anyone get in my way. Is that how I am at work?
This is, yes. You're actually,
very
actually
similar.
That's a calmer version of you. I don't know if you've ever driven with me, but it is very much akin to what happens to David Banner or Bruce Banner when he becomes the Hulk when I'm behind the wheel of a car.
And you do
I do turn green, and I wear magenta shorts, and my shirt pops off, and I don't understand how any of that happens. And Lou Ferrigno plays me. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
But, yeah, for some reason, when I'm behind the wheel of a car and there's an infraction, I become a very, very different person. They did a survey over at insurance.com. They wanted to see if men or women are the same or more different when they're behind the wheel. It's going to surprise you, I think. It's women who change the most. Isn't that shocking?
No,
you think it'd be guys?
No, it's funny. When I was when my kids were old enough to talk, you know, they're in the back seat and they're stuck with you in their car seat and you're driving along. And I remember when Michael, who's now 14, first started to talk, we'd be driving and all of a sudden I heard him go, "Come on, people."
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
You've taught him a very valuable phrase.
Come on, people.
Yeah, I know.
I guess women would change because they do try to hold it together in the office.
So what is it about being behind the wheel of a car that all of a sudden your inhibitions are gone? You can just say or do whatever you want.
Because you're, first of all, with me, I am always in a hurry.
Yeah.
Always in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know? And if someone's blocking you, I mean,
they're in your way. Get out of my way.
This person's going too. You know, that just is so frustrating to me. And there are a lot of people who are just, and I think this is men in general.
Yeah.
A lot of men are not aware of their surroundings.
There's
like
something to that.
Like if we're walking down the street,
there's
you and I, we're talking, having a sandwich while we're walking.
As we often do.
And then there's a person who's trying to get past us,
right.
I would move aside and maybe grab your arm and let them go.
Absolutely.
You would not even notice that that person's trying to get by, I wouldn't think. And if you're not the typical guy.
I'm fairly conscious of that,
okay.
But I do see there's,
many
a, there's
men
a point
are
to
not.
That. Yeah, I know. I
so
know.
I get irritated when people are driving and they're, you know, not aware of who's next to them.
Have you
but
seen...
Don't you
oh, go on. No, go. Take it, Mayor.
Don't you think also with women, when you're in the car, you can yell and say stuff because you know they can't hear
Absolutely.
You. So you can just let it all out.
Well,
right.
My
even
windows are
kids,
down.
Even if you're... Oh, so you do let it all out.
Oh,
see,
yes.
I get upset, like, I'll scream and yell at them, but then they get near me and I'll like, oh, I better shut up.
Yeah.
Then I'll like cower.
Oh, I give the look. I give the look when I go
oh,
by,
like my
really...
Husband.
I swear to you, that look has gotten me into so much trouble because my wife always says, as I'm about to give it, she'll go, don't forget, give the look. And I go, I haven't forgotten. The look is coming. Here's where it's been coming in handy lately. Remember how when people used to turn right, they would just turn right? You slow down a little, but you don't come to a complete stop before you're turning. It seems lately, and I don't know what started this, whenever people are turning, they slow down to a third of a mile per hour, a fifth of a mile per hour to make that turn, and that's where I start honking the horn.
Well, red light cameras.
Well,
you have to come to a complete stop, and that's
no,
another...
No. Not when there's a stop there. I just mean, like, let's say you're driving down a street and you're turning into a driveway
for a shop
or something like that.
What do you go, 30 miles an hour?
I go pretty fast. I speed
Easy
up
speed
when
racer.
I hit the turn. But everybody else slows down, and that's when I hit the horn, and my wife is like, what are you doing?
Oh, you do
hit the horn? Yeah. All right, so here is what the study says. This is from insurance.com. If you see a driver cussing in front of kids in the car or flipping people off, and then Wendy, it says your name. It says it is more likely than not that it is a woman. More likely than men. How about that? Men aren't pillars of polite driving either. They're twice as likely as women to key somebody's car or flash drivers. Flash?
Wait.
Oh, with high beams.
Oh, wait, these are guys?
Down. Here, take this.
I do the high beam flash.
I do the high beam flash all the time. I've worn my high beam flash out from doing that. I've had to have it replaced 3 times in my car. Carrie's in Waukegan would like to add to this. Hello, Carrie, how are you?
Hey, Bill, how are you? Good, thanks. Good topic.
Thank you.
My new biggest pet peeve is when you are behind somebody and they're making a right turn.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for the car to pass them, and the car's like 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
And they just wait for that just drives me.
And Carrie, that hasn't always been that way, right? That all of a sudden that's a thing that people do. They didn't used to do that, did they?
No, they didn't. And I don't know where it came from. Got turn.
Just take the turn. We know you're going to turn eventually. Do it now, right?
Exactly.
I know. It's so frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Thank you, Carrie. Have a good day.
You bet. Thanks.
Take care. Bye. And now back to our story. It says men aren't pillars of polite driving either. They're twice as likely, as I said, to key somebody's car.
I
know you've never done that.
I
could never do that
either.
I
have spit on someone's windshield.
What was the circumstance?
They take up 2 parking spots. Now, all right, here's my problem. You have a great new car, and it's a nice model. You take up 2 parking spots, someone's going to do something like that to you.
So is spitting on the windshield is the best move?
Yeah,
do you think that's the best move? Have you ever? I've left signs on people's windshields dozens of times.
You're a poopy.
Something to the extent of, just by judging the way you've parked, I think you qualify for special parking up front. Why don't you take advantage of it? That sort of thing.
That's mean.
It's
and
mean.
Your printing is so bad. I don't even know how they can read it.
They just look at it.
Do you go back to your car and write the note, or do you have those handy?
I go back to my car. I write the note.
Really?
I look around to make sure nobody bigger than me is seeing me do this, and then I leave it on their windshield.
I'm glad you do that. I wouldn't do it, but I think that's hilarious.
Oh, you have to.
A lesson, yeah.
You have to.
A great Christmas gift for Bill Leff. We should go back to the transcripts and have it pre-printed so
exactly.
they can truly
make up
get
some
the benefit
flyers
from it.
For him.
Have them done in a really impressive font, in script font, so that when they see it, they'll go, this guy, obviously, he's an expert.
And
look
maybe you should do it on a poster.
Yes.
So everyone can
yes.
see it and read it.
I like it even more.
Get
that's
one
a
of
great
those
idea.
Fold-up windshield screens and just put it on there.
Oh, windshield. All right. Your thoughts on this. We're at 312-981-7200. I'm going to read you some statistics in a moment that will knock you down opposing men's driving to women. 312-981-7200 or a text to 24720. Wendy and Bill after this. It's WGN.
Riding along in my automobile.
The question here is, who changes more when they're behind the wheel? Is it women or is it men? I would have bet the farm. I would have bet Orion's farm that it would have been men change more than women.
No, men are kind of like that all the time.
We are. We have
a
short fuse.
You do, and you're allowed to do that in the workplace.
It comes from caveman days when
yes.
we always wanted to fight and hunt buffalo.
And you'd drag us behind
That's
you.
That's what we used to do. That's what we used to do. Insurance.com did a survey. They wanted to know the answers. Do women change more or do men change more? They say overwhelmingly it's women who turn more than men. I'm shocked. Every line is ringing. We're at 312-981-7200 or a text at 24720. We're going to start out with Ed. He's in Chicago. Hello, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, what really gets me is when I go to like a parking lot and a store, and people are parked on the line
yep.
instead of between the lines. And I'll leave a note that says, "I'll bet you had problems coloring in the lines in kindergarten. Learn how to park.
Stay within the lines."
Now, back me up, Ed. That sign thing makes you feel good because you've gotten your message across. Nobody has punched anybody. It's just a sign, but words are stronger than anything else, right?
Well, and I hope they learn from it, but I have a feeling that they don't.
They don't. Yeah. And, you know, then you think about it, and it's like, why stress yourself out? Just don't park next to that
True.
Person.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, and I don't. That's the other thing. But, I mean, really? Yeah.
Good for you, Ed. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Bunch of jerks out there.
Take care.
I'm telling you.
You know who you are. You jerks.
Jerk online. What line?
No,
none
of these people are jerks. Okay. These are good, fine, upstanding citizens. It's Beth. She's in Geneva. Hello, Beth. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning and welcome to daytime.
Oh, thank you so much. What do you think?
I drive my husband to work occasionally late at night. It's like, why isn't this guy on the daytime?
Oh, that's so nice of you.
Back. I've missed you. I have listened to you for a lot of your career in Chicago.
Oh, thank you, Beth.
Beth, if we had prizes, you would have just won one. We don't have any prizes, but...
My prize was you guys being on the radio and you guys over there, you know, bringing all these great people back to the airwaves. You know, it's been kind of dull in talk radio in Chicago for a while.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now it's alive!
It's well alive now. It is.
And Wendy, your remark the other day, we have the radio on in pretty much every room in the house so we don't miss anything as we go.
Oh,
from
good.
Room to room.
Oh, very good.
Thank you so much.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, the road rage, it's genetic in my family. My half-sister from Europe was visiting about 2 years ago, and she had just been in Texas where our niece was learning to drive, and she was, you know, it was coming out of her genetically, so it's all over. When my kids were little, I did a lot of grumbling and kept it clean because they were little.
Yeah.
And
that's where I went wrong, Beth, and I apologize to my children for that.
Well, my son, I would hear him say "car buster" because I would be running a buster. And so I said, "Mom, is he being a car buster?"
Now think about it. If you had used a more lethal term, that wouldn't have played out well, would it?
No. Actually, the only one ever to slip with those words in front of my kids was my mother, usually watching a Bears game.
I love it.
That's very funny. Beth, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Thank you so much. Bye. Alex is on the line. Hold on a second. Alex, there you are. What are your thoughts? Do you change much, Alex, when you're behind the wheel of a car? Are you a different person?
Well, two quick things. First of all, my wife just laughs when I complain about the drivers in Chicago because she grew up learning to drive in Venezuela.
Really?
And she says it's like a stock car race down there.
Oh, I believe
and,
it.
There's no rules.
Alex, my parents had gone to Caracas at one point on a business trip, and when they came back, they said the streets of Venezuela have crosses, crucifixes everywhere, because every time somebody dies in a car crash, they put up a crucifix, and that's all you see when you drive around Venezuela.
That's exactly right. They've basically run out of room for more crosses. They don't even advertise when there's a fatal down there. It's kind of hilarious, but not hilarious that there's a fatal.
Ironic.
Yes. Yeah.
No. That's not what I mean. That's not what I meant. But in any case, the second thing was, if you do a search for bad parking forms, there are some hilarious ones that are pre-printed that you can just kind of fill out and check boxes on what's appropriate. And if you do that, you'll get a great laugh out of that. And thank you very much. You guys have a great show.
Oh, thanks so much, Alex. Take care. So somebody already thought, I wasn't the first one, obviously, to think about
that. That could have been your millions.
I'm telling you, there's nothing more rewarding when somebody parks really, really badly than leaving that note. And I always want to stick around to see them read it. But what would I get out of that, I guess?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. You know that eventually the point will come across. Mike is in Wheeling. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Really good. What's up?
Well, I drive a really old pickup truck most of the time, and if I see somebody parked right on the line, I will purposely park within a couple inches of them where they have to go to their passenger side and get in.
See, I admire you, Mike, because I always wanted to have an old beater car, so when someone is driving too slowly, I just want to ram right into them.
It's not bumper cars, Wendy.
Know,
you're not at the state fair.
It would be fun.
It's fantastic. There's times they'll sit there and wait for me to come out around at the mall, and they'll go, "Why'd you park so close?" I said, "You park in the lines. I park in the lines."
I love it.
No one's ever called you out on this, Mike? There's never been an altercation because of this?
Oh, there has been, but I'm a very large, I'm 6'3", I'm a big bald guy.
Yeah.
Military.
Menacing.
I'm not saying I'm intimidating, but I'm not, you know, I usually quiet. It's more intimidating than, you know, yelling back at them.
Yep, that works. It always does. Well, thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
No problem. You too.
Bye. So just to reiterate, if you had an old car, if you were driving a beater, you would think nothing of just bumping into somebody if they were in your way on the road?
Well, you know when people change lanes and they don't look, and, you know, I would love to just let them hit me. I really wouldn't ram them like that. I'm sorry. I really wouldn't. But I do like Mike's idea about parking so closely next to him.
Teach him a little lesson. Henry's calling. Hello, Henry. How are you?
Hi. First of all, I disagree. I think women are more unaware of their surroundings than men.
Do you? How come?
Driving.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. A lot of times when you're in the left lane on the expressway and the car's going 60 and everyone else is stringing up behind it, a lot of time it's a woman. I guess that's just my observation, you know, over time. But part of the problem, I think, is guys like that last caller that make themselves the parking lot police.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how did they know that, you know, there's the other guys that were there before I parked there, maybe they were over on the line and I just fit in where I could.
Another Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Yeah,
that did happen on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But there is something to that. You don't know the whole history of the lot. That could have easily have been the case, huh?
Right, and guys, if you ever on an expressway or there's construction and a lane is getting cut off, it goes down to one lane, and you get someone who stays in that right lane to prevent people from going.
Sure, of course.
I hate that. And really, it's supposed to merge. So if everyone would let one car in, it would go
much more smoothly. Yeah.
But, right, so how, and my last point, I think that we do a lot of things without realizing. You're on a two-lane road and a car's coming up on the right of you, passing you. I notice I've sped up without even doing it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice my granddaughter, when she drives, I've seen her do it. It's really amazing when I think about it that people just, you know, sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah,
we
I guess.
Instinct. Oh, we don't want that guy to pass us. So we speed up and that guy thinks that you're messing with him and then he gets mad. And
yep, we get very territorial. We really do. We have to go to news, but thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it, Henry.
All righty.
Take care. Wendy, I didn't even get to all these stats from insurance.com. So let's do this. We've got Steve Dale, and you don't keep, you know, the one rule in radio, you do not keep Steve Dale waiting.
No.
You don't. So we'll do the news. We'll talk to Steve Dale about pets and their driving habits because pet driving is at an all-time low. We'll talk about that. And then we may bring this back before the show is over. Stick around. It's Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff on WGN.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the wackily chain.
Cuddly Dudley.
Yep. It's
That's what I call you off air.
Thank you for sharing that secret. Yeah, it's Wendy Snyder. It's Bill Leff, a very beat red Bill Leff. In the studio right now is noted pet expert Steve Dale. If there's anyone on the planet who knows more about Steve Dale, they're not in the room right now.
What?
That started out as a compliment.
It didn't quite come out the way.
Yeah.
No
apologize,
one knows more
Steve.
About pets than Steve Dale.
That's
Dale,
the right way to say it.
To say
That's
it.
The correct way to say it. How are you, Steve?
I'm great. Thank
nice
you very
to
much.
See you.
Well, it's good to see you. You know, I said this to Wendy earlier, and it has nothing to do with pets, but I want to share this. A couple of years ago, there were some changes at this radio station. I landed down the street and
Sbarro's.
The program,
not even at a radio station.
Sbarro's.
At Sbarro's.
Well, that would actually wouldn't be a bad idea. In fact, remember when the coyote walked into one of those?
Yes.
Places,
I love this
place?
Joke. Yep. A coyote walked into
this is
a
not,
coffee shop.
Wendy, this,
or
we
no,
wish
it was
this
Quiznos.
Was a joke. This is true. This was down the street.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely right. But I landed at another radio station. But before that radio station said yes, someone walked into the program director's office and stood up for yours truly and said, you know, this guy is great on the air. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else she said, but it was really very nice. And Wendy Snyder did that for
oh,
me.
Oh, Wendy.
That's
that
the
was
kind
very
of person
nice
she
of
is. I'll never forget that.
You owe her big time, Steve.
Well, I try to give her doggy treats when I can.
But what about for my dog?
That's another story.
What's going on? You told me right before you walked in that there's been some breaking news in the world of pets.
And
is it good news or is it bad
news? Well, I think it's great news. So there is legislation that somewhat restricts puppy mills. It's really loose legislation. The legislation isn't that great. If it were, we wouldn't have puppy mills, right? But we do. The thing is, even with those little bits of restrictions, the puppy mill people can say, or breeders who are not very good can say, you know what, that's fine. I'll just sell my products online. So, and they treat them as products, even though they're living things. So they sell the dogs, the puppies, sometimes kittens, online because all this legislation was created long before there ever was an online. I mean, it goes back 40 years. So now the U.S. Department of Agriculture has passed a law. Actually, Congress passed it. But it's a USDA recommendation supported by a whole lot of animal welfare groups that limits what these folks can do. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Why did it take so long?
Well, the internet's only been, I don't know.
It's hard
You know, and they fight it. You know, they don't want this.
Yeah. And rules on the internet are different.
It's hard. Like,
it's hard to all of a sudden make a rule.
Because
that
it all happens so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So it's a good thing. I mean, my hope is that, and I've talked to Governor Quinn about this, and my hope is that in the state, in fact, if this does happen, I will celebrate on your show.
All right.
My hope is that I can get a state legislature,
state legislator,
is that right?
Yes.
To support this idea. We now have a puppy lemon law in Illinois. I was there at the bill signing. The governor invited me there. It was all very nice. And what I said at that time, the governor asked me to speak, and what I said, maybe he's sorry I did after I said what I did, but what I said is this is great. It's a first step. What we need is for no pet stores ever again in the state of Illinois, and frankly, anywhere in the country, to be allowed to sell puppies or kittens, because we know they are from commercial facilities, a.k.a. puppy mills.
Yeah, no puppy left behind. That's really the name of this.
It is. Is this the law that he signed here on the airwaves at WGN? I was listening
the
one weekend
law?
Where actually, you had him on, and he signed something electronically right there on the station.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a different law that was also good for dogs.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So you just call Governor Quinn up fairly regularly.
Governor?
Of course.
Hello, Governor.
Actually, this is true. I saw him on the street. I was coming in for a meeting here to the radio station.
Did he roll his eyes? Oh, great. Here's Steve Dale. I can't believe this guy.
He had just done something here with one of the personalities on the air.
Yeah.
And you know the revolving doors that you enter the building in, and I just kind of bumped into him.
Yeah.
And I said, pardon me. And he said, well, no, that's my job.
Oh,
But I'm bum.
I love good governor humor, Steve. Yes. That's my favorite kind of humor is governor humor.
He's opening up for Steve Cochran on that New Year's Eve show.
That's a great show. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I have one joke. It'll be a very small act that
that's
I do.
No, fine. I mean Governor Quinn will
Oh,
be.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that'll
yes.
be a good show.
Yes.
All right. Now, again, I don't know whether to file this under good news or bad news. You're going to have to tell me. You hinted at this the other day when I talked to you. The ugliest cat in the world has passed away?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. A 12-year-old cat named Ugly Bad Boy.
Did they name the cat Ugly Bad Boy before they saw him?
No, I think they saw the cat first.
And then they named him Ugly Bad Boy, which I'm sure made him feel better about himself and the way he looked.
You guys should put, it's at chicagonow.com/Steve Dale, and you guys could put a link to it if you so desire on your Facebook.
That. Yeah, I got to see this poor ugly cat.
And you guys do have a Facebook page, but it looks kind of like a Devon Rex cat with issues.
And a Devon Rex cat, those sphinx-like bald cats?
Well, don't say bald. I would prefer to say...
Follically challenged.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yes.
Please. Yeah. All this political correctness, I can't
I bunked into the governor and we talked about this, Wendy.
But the cat really kind of does have a unique look about him, or did. And it's sad that he passed away. Now, here's how I'm involved in this in a very... kind of convoluted way.
You killed this cat, didn't
no,
you?
No, I did not.
You did.
I would not do that. Right. Me? No. All right. No.
Yeah, that's
in
impossible.
Fact, quite the reverse is true. This
what
cat
happened?
Passed away of something called feline hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Spell that?
Yeah, I can, actually.
No.
What is
but,
that?
But it's a kind of heart disease that is so common in cats. For indoor cats, it is probably the number one cause of death of cats between the age of about 2 and about... I don't know, 8 or 9, when we have cancer and kidney disease and other things that begin to happen. Mm-hmm. You know how a basketball or football players just sometimes, there they are, these great athletes, and they're in the middle of a game and they just drop, you know, and you hear about it every once in a while? This is the same kind of thing.
It's an there's some irregularity
it's
in
an
your
enlargement
heart.
Of the right ventricle of the heart, actually.
Because 12 is not old for a cat to
live.
No! They
should live
half their lifetime.
Exactly. So... too many cats are dying of this. I realized this some number of years ago, and we began a fund at the Wynn Feline Foundation. The Wynn Feline Foundation supports cat health research.
Mm-hmm.
Only organization like it in the world. And what we did is we began a fund called the Ricky Fund, named for a cat that I had that died of this disease. And we've raised well over $100,000. So this is another cat who is sort of a well-known cat, at least on the internet. You know, they say for dogs, people meet and talk at the dog park. For cats, they meet
on the internet.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They really do. The most popular sites on the internet are either porn or cats.
And
or
sometimes
they're combined.
They will meet. Yes.
Yes. And I've not
Sorry,
seen those
Bill.
Sites.
Yes,
but
you have. I can tell by looking at
you. Well, maybe a little bit. So
that's what kitty porn is, Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill,
it is.
Please.
I'm just trying to help.
I thought it was the kind of thing you said.
Don't even guess what
no.
it is.
Just
Don't
leave
even
it alone.
Guess. All right.
Let that one breathe.
How did this cat become known as the world's ugliest cat?
Love
what
this
happened?
Joke.
It's
how did something must have happened? Was there a contest?
Did you see it?
No,
wait,
I haven't
I don't
seen
know
a
if
picture
I have your picture. Is it on your...
It's chicagonow.com.
Oh, I'm
forward
going
slash
to your Facebook
Steve
page.
Dale. Yeah. It's on my fan page, though, where I promoted being on with you guys. Or you could just Google Ugly Cat.
All
or
right.
Ugly Bat Boy. That's the name of the cat. How did this cat... Who determined...
Why
it was
the designation ugliest cat in the world?
Look at the picture of the cat.
You can tell just by looking at it. There's no cat uglier than this one.
Maybe not. I wouldn't say ugly.
Oh, my
ugly,
God.
Though.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she's cringing.
Let me see the picture.
It's kind of cool.
Oh, don't
though.
Put that on our Facebook
no.
page. People will see it, and they'll think it's either you or I, Wendy, and they'll stop listening. That's Wendy Snyder? I'm not listening to that show.
She's a very beautiful lady.
It's very unique.
Yes.
And
I'll leave it at
unique.
That.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's
very special.
Yeah.
So this special cat, if it brings more attention to the Wynn Feline Foundation's Ricky Fund, I'm all for it.
All right.
Because then we can raise money, more money, to help cats with this sadly very common disease that now, because of the money raised, there's a genetic test. Now, imagine this.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a cheek swab, just a simple cheek swab
mm-hmm.
of a ragdoll or Maine Coon cat, and genetically you can tell if this cat, you send in the test, but you can tell then, the experts can tell instantly whether they're carrying the gene defect that is likely for this disease. So it's a start.
That's
yeah,
a very
that's
good start.
A good start. No wonder this cat is called Ugly Bat Boy because someone hit it with the ugly stick.
It was a punchline in waiting, and she found
it. Was. It was easy. Yeah. All right. So noted pet expert Steve Dale is our guest. It's
noted.
Bill Luff, and it's Wendy Snyder. That's not her picture you're looking at on our Facebook page. Stick around. We've got more ahead. It's WGN.
Cats like mouses, cats like meat. Cats like boxes, cats like sleep. Cats like lasers, cats like running. Cats like birds, cats like hiding.
I thought they'd play Cat Stevens, Steve, but no, they went with this song. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's me, Bill Leff. And in studio with us is noted pet expert Steve Dale. Steve, I want to name this segment, and this is up to you. I said that this would be a good name for a book for you, and you said no, but I think this segment, can we call it Heavy Petting with Steve Dale? Are you on board with that?
What? No.
You don't
like
that?
It.
Huh?
Are you afraid of that name?
Well, a little bit. But right. Say, so,
a little bit?
Whatever you want.
All right.
I like it.
This segment may or may not be called Heavy Petting with Steve Dale.
Well, it's a democracy, so if you both vote yes.
I like how he said democracy.
He did. He stressed the dumb in democracy.
I would never do that. No.
But it's your segment. We look forward to this, Wendy and I, all week long, is to
talk pets with you.
I actually like pets, so I look forward to you.
And I'm a big fan of yours. I've got two fan sites going for you on the internet.
Well, you know what? This is true. Someone who works at the radio station came downstairs specifically to tell me that she remembers you and I and Wendy talking somewhere else years ago about pet gibbons.
Yes.
Just remember that.
For people who don't know the backstory, for years and years, my family, we had a gibbon named Peanut that meant the world to us, and we would dress him up in outfits. And you even said one time, you have to be careful in what you dress him up as because you don't want the clothing to be too binding. You don't want to cut off the circulation.
Because gibbons
they tend to have poor circulation.
Well, they have to brachiate.
They do have to. You told me at the time. And he lived, Peanut lived, he passed away a couple years ago, to the ripe old age of 92, which is the longest a gibbon has ever lived in the Midwest.
I had no idea.
92 years old.
That's where our Social Security money is going.
Yes, I miss you, Peanut. Now, you have a segment that you want to start within the segment called Pet News from Around the World. How will this work? Steve.
Animal news.
We need to put some reverb on here.
Animal news.
From around.
Right, that's very loud.
That's too loud. You're going to wake people up. All right.
Sorry.
So what's going on around the world with animals?
Well, it's a brutal political story. It involves the tragic act of violence that occurred, an attack in Talkeetna, Alaska.
Yep, you said it right, Alaska.
On Mayor Stubbs.
Uh-oh, is that why he's called that?
The mayor who is now a senior citizen serving for 16 years was brutally mauled. And there's a lesson here. Never let an old mayor out at night and alone.
That's so true.
Mayor Stubbs' rise to power in the sleepy Alaska town happened very quickly and by a surprisingly overwhelming vote. The townsfolk loved their mayor. While in office, Mayor Stubbs has never been criticized for anything. How many mayors can you say that about?
None.
So what kind of dog can be responsible for such a brazen attack? No one knows except, well, the dog.
Yeah.
You see, Mayor Stubbs is a cat. A yellow tabby.
And now you know.
I love this twist.
The rest of the story.
The position of mayor is considered by some, this is true, in the town to be kind of a ceremonial thing. Still, it's been loused up by other mayors in the past. And they're really happy with this mayor who, incidentally, doesn't have a tail, hence the name
Stubbs.
Stubbs.
In the attack,
your answer.
The mayor suffered a punctured lung, a fractured sternum, and 5-inch gash on his side.
Hmm.
Veterinarians have said the mayor is now breathing on his own for the first time since the attack and actually seems to be doing better. One of the townsfolk said, it's a shame. He's the mayor. It's not a joke. I know it's ridiculous, but the town has never been run so well.
Well, what do we get from this story? Do we know anything more now that we've heard this terrible, tragic story?
It is what I suggested it would be. It's animal news
from around the world.
Yep. Yes,
from around the world. Is it a myth or is it true, Steve, that dogs and cats just by nature do not get along?
Oh, that's a myth.
It's a myth, isn't it?
Totally, yeah.
So did that start? Why do we assume that all the time?
I don't know how it started or why we assume that. I'm sure individual dogs chase individual cats, and sometimes they aren't just playing. You know, that happens. But overall, they do get along. In fact, about a quarter of the people now that have a dog have a cat. or vice versa. Statistically, that's true. And all those homes, millions of homes with dogs and cats, they don't need Jimmy Carter to come and help make peace. So something is happening that's okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Does it ever really rain cats and dogs?
That's a myth.
And if it does, would you step in a poodle?
It happens on some Fridays.
Okay.
Yes, just occasionally. Big night's coming up.
I'm sorry, the pets bring out the softer side
yes,
of me.
Yes, of course they do.
And big the dumber night, side of me.
Big, I like that.
What's
big
going
night
on,
is coming
Steve?
Up.
Tell it's us
the,
more.
The 9th annual Celebrity Chefs event. It's September 26th at the Chicago Cultural Center. That's right down the street, 78 East Washington Street. It is one of those celebrity chef events, so a lot of them, mm-hmm. celebrity big-time chefs will come. If you attend, you can eat some great food. I mean, great food from Channel 7. Jim Rose is going to be the MC with his wife, Lakeisha. What's really important about this for me is this is our city shelter. This is the Chicago Municipal Shelter. A lot of shelters need help. Mm-hmm. I understand that, mm-hmm. and I talk about that all the time. But we've all heard, and I suggest you might have heard about this, you guys, that the budgets have been cut around the city.
Of course, yeah.
And animals are kind of low on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal control is, I mean, the lady there now, Sandra Alford, I had her on my show this past week. She's doing a terrific job. But you can only do with what you can do with, depending on the resources you have. So animal control needs your help. What a fun way to help. September 26th at the Chicago Cultural Center. For more information, go to FCACC.org, Friends of Animal Care and Control.
We don't have a whole lot of time for this, but I do want to ask you, you mentioned this over the weekend that you wanted to discuss this. This is the danger of rice in pet food. What can you tell us there, Steve?
Well, you know, it's been in the popular press that white rice has arsenic in it. I mean, that's a concern for people.
That's
you know?
Terrible.
You'd think, but...
We always ask for no MSG on our Chinese food. I'm going to start saying, could you not put any arsenic on my food, please? I would like zero arsenic, please.
I think that's a reasonable request.
All right, good.
Now, I don't know enough about, I'm not an expert on this, but it seems as though people aren't dropping on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's true and not true, but it led people to ask me, being the pet guy,
mm-hmm.
then since there's rice in pet foods, should I be concerned
sure,
about
this? Because it would transfer over?
Yeah, yeah, perhaps. If you know, and beside, that's all the dog is eating every day, right?
Yeah.
Pet food companies test for this sort of thing, and actually a trace amount, he says, of arsenic is important for our diets.
We need arsenic.
Yeah, we actually do. He says a trace amount.
I told you the other day, my wife gets arsenic helper from the grocery store, and she makes this dish that is outstanding. Not too much arsenic, just enough.
And
you
some
need
old lace?
Yeah, just a little bit of old lace, yeah. Come on.
With
come
that,
on,
I can't follow that at all. Come to the big night
so
event.
So we need some arsenic in our diet. We don't need a lot, and that's your concern.
Well, I don't know if concern is right. I mean, people sent me notes expressing mm-hmm. their concern. I'm not sure that I'm concerned about it. I think everything is fine with our pet food.
Steve,
I mean,
Dale, okay, oh, go ahead.
Well, there's been a lamb and rice formula forever. So,
yeah.
I mean, it seems
to be... and it's fill in the blank in rice, chicken and rice, whatever it is. So rice is an important carbohydrate.
Rice is nice, is what we say around here.
That's what Wendy says.
Yeah. But it's important for carbs and B vitamins and some other things.
Absolutely. That's Steve Dale. You can hear him every week here on our show. And then other
Sunday
places
morning
around WGN
six,
like
yeah, Sunday
mornings.
Morning at 6:30.
Thank you,
starting
Steve.
Starting this Sunday.
We've got news coming up next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN, along with, and Wendy, follow me on this because this is kind of strange, but I will explain. Tom Appel is in the studio with us right now. He is the brains behind CGDailyDrive.com, a fantastic website if you're a car enthusiast, or even if you're not, you can learn a whole lot. I know I do. Tom, you have been with me on the night show, I believe, a half a dozen, six or seven times over the past year and a half, and yet this is the first time you and I have finally met.
Yeah, and you look roughly like I expected.
Thank you very much. You're even handsomer than I ever dreamed.
God bless. Thank you.
And he brought donuts.
And he brought donuts, which makes you even handsomer somehow.
It always does that.
That's how it works. A couple of questions to start out with. Number one, the auto industry, although not at full strength, has rebounded very, very nicely in the last 5 years. Are you surprised at what has happened? Boy, a little over 5 years ago, everybody was saying, boy, what are we going to do now? And now things are just going so well. Are you shocked?
I'm surprised by the pace.
Yeah?
It's amazing how fast the industry is recovering. But what happened is after the slowdown, after the recession and the bailouts and the bankruptcies, you had a situation where people just stopped buying cars. Mm-hmm. And at one point, 2008, 2009, about half the cars that you would expect to have been purchased were purchased. So you had this huge swelling demand for cars that wasn't met. So people sat on these things. Their cars got older.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't buy cars. And then all of a sudden, when they sort of got a sense that maybe the economy was good or their jobs were safe, they started buying cars. And now you have all these people turning in fairly old used cars for new cars.
I want a new car.
Yeah, could you get us a new car? That'd be fantastic.
I meant to bring you guys one.
You brought donuts. You're all right.
I couldn't do it. I thought, what's the next best thing?
Donuts are just as good as cars, sometimes better. Orion has said many times in his business report, and I tend to agree with him, that if the auto industry is doing well, it's a great sign for the country. You see it that way, don't you?
Yeah, it's usually considered a leading indicator. Like if they start to sell cars, the economy's probably coming back.
Yeah. Now, that said, with the auto industry on such an uptick, why is Detroit still struggling? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, one of the things that's happening there, and it's an unfortunate situation, but we hear about things like productivity. People do more work than they used to,
mm-hmm.
and they're more efficient, and robots do that, and automation does that, technology does that. So it takes fewer people to build more cars now. So even though Detroit is cranking out more cars than it ever has, and by Detroit, I mean the Detroit makers, not necessarily that area, fewer people are needed to make those cars.
Well, that's everybody is required nowadays to multitask much more at their jobs.
Sure.
I mean, Bill not only hosts a radio show, he also has to clean up in the hallways.
Yes, I do.
And
I don't mind.
Empty the garbage. I mean, you know, you need to be more helpful.
And Wendy does a puppet show after our show every day, a very successful puppet show. What you just said is so true about the longevity of a car. It seemed like when we were growing up, your car's lifespan seemed to be about 100,000 to maybe 125,000 miles. Not anymore.
No, people who knew cars of the 60s and 70s will often say you could hear them rust.
Yeah.
And cars don't rust anymore. And then cars that go 200,000 miles are just not odd anymore.
See, that is so weird. We have a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which has rusted, by the way, because we don't have a garage. Or garage.
As we say in Chicago.
Yeah. Garage.
And
garage.
It's got about 150,000 miles on it, just gaining on it. And I'm scared of it. And everyone's like, don't worry about it. I have another car, Toyota, that's about 98,000. And it's not weird. We don't owe
They'll
money
last.
On them, and cars are made better now, aren't they?
They're made better, though scared at 150,000 miles, I think, is prudent.
Really?
Yeah.
Things
I
start
keep
to
being
happen.
Told that thing's going to hit 200,000.
Oh, it might, but things are going to start happening. Little things.
The myth was always that car makers knew that they could make a car that would last longer, but they didn't want that because they wanted to keep recycling into car dealerships. Was that true? Did Detroit have the wherewithal? Did they know? We got to make a car stop working at 100 or 120 to get people back in.
I think that's true to an extent. Another thing that happened, too, is that buyers' expectations of vehicles have changed.
Yeah.
When people were perfectly happy to do that at one point, and they would get two-year loans and three-year loans, what you see now, too, is that the average car loan is now 62 months.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive that you can spread it so long and make your payments much lower.
And loans of 84 months are not uncommon.
Wow.
I mean, you know, granted you're paying the interest of the whole, you know, double the price,
but
lower payments.
Is that for a while that leasing with the option to buy was very, very popular? Has that ebbed a bit? That's not as popular as it once was it? Is it?
Leasing works for luxury cars, and it's working on hybrid and exotic fuel cars, like the Chevy Volt is a popular lease product. So because people are maybe a little leery about what they're getting into, but if they can try it for 2 years or try it for 3 years, well, that makes sense, and they're not overcommitting.
I'm always afraid on those because I feel like after 4 years or 5 years of putting down money every month, I'm really walking away with pretty much nothing. Is that a common belief for people?
It's true. Hopefully you're putting down less during the lease event, though, to make up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what you don't have is a down payment.
Right.
That's a lot of times people don't have money to put down a down payment. I have never leased a car in my life because that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of your deal, you want that collateral basically to trade in to put a down payment on a new car.
Right. Yeah,
it's sort of the same as saving in advance.
Who does that?
Exactly. So you need
someone's
sell value.
But now on the car side, it seems like they're winning. The people you're buying from just keep winning, and they've offered incentives like once your lease is over, you're going to get the car at a much better reduced rate. But it still seems like it's advantage to the car people over to the consumer, doesn't it?
Well, it's an advantage to the dealer because they get a good trade back, and you have to go back to that dealer.
Yeah.
So for them, it promises that they have a potential client coming back.
Right.
So dealers like it.
Yep. Oh, that makes sense. Mm. That is one of my favorite things to buy a car. I used to look in the Edmunds book to mm-hmm. get prices on things, and then online obviously made it so much easier to know exactly what this option cost. So it's great to do your homework, go in there, and there's really not much negotiating because you'll say, I know how much this is costing you. Here's what I'll pay for this car. Nine out of 10 times they want to make the sale.
Yeah, there's less and less negotiating than there used to be.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's funny, though, because there's people who used to love, that was their favorite part of getting a car was the deal, was fighting it out with the car salesman who would always bring, I want to help you. Let me talk to Larry. He's the guy you got to talk to. They bring in a second guy.
It was just such... some guy fixing the vending machine.
Sometimes it was another customer. Larry'd come over and go, yeah, you can make that deal. I'm fine with that. Yeah,
my wife would do that. I'd have a deal. I'd shake hands with the guy. She'd be like, no.
I want more.
I'm like, I'm out of this now. I can back away. It's her problem.
Well, excuse me, but isn't it true that most women do the car buying or decide what it is that they're getting?
Women play a role in something like 60% of all car making decisions.
Do they?
I thought it was higher than that.
Well, that's a huge number.
Yeah.
But here's where we've advanced a little bit. When my wife and I started dating before we were married, there were two different occasions that we went to buy a car. And even when she asked the questions, and she asked way, way, way better questions, I would always go, does it jump ramps? And you don't need to know that with a car. She would ask the question. The salesman would always talk to me. She was always ignored. That has stopped. They have figured out that women are A, smarter than us, and B, are going to make the decision.
Well, it stopped at good dealerships.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It still happens from time to time,
yeah,
Tom.
Don't do it to my wife.
I love, too, when you have the information and you're armed with it and you say, I'd like to get the rear view mirrors that have the defrosting capabilities mm-hmm. on them. Sorry, that's not available. Oh, no.
Says here it is.
And this is how much it costs.
Yep.
Yeah, they just want to sell you what they have.
I know.
It's so true. Tom Appel is here in person. He's the brains behind cgdailydrive.com, a great website if you're a car enthusiast. Or like I said, if you just want to know more about the business, that's the place to go, cgdailydrive.com. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. If you're calling, 24/7, 20. If you're texting, it's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Tom Appel knows his cars. He's the guy behind cgdailydrive.com. He's live in studio. We will talk cars with him from time to time. When did you know that cars were going to play such an important role in your life? Were you a little kid? Were you a car enthusiast as a little kid?
I used to help my dad fix cars in the driveway, but the addiction came in high school when I got a job working at a garage.
Oh, perfect.
And that was it. I was hooked.
I used to, and I don't know, I guess it still happens this way. You know when a car would drip oil and you would see that real colorful rainbow look?
Yes.
I couldn't do anything with it, but I would just look at that, Tom, and go, cars are a thing of beauty, just based on the oil that would drip out of the bottom of it.
And you didn't know that was toxic.
No, I had no idea.
I love cars, and I love that they're going back to the older styles. For a while, every car looked alike.
Sure.
Yeah, we are coming out of a bland period.
Mm-hmm.
Very distinct right now.
Like you see the old Mustangs and the Chargers, they're all going back to the looks they had in the 60s.
It's because we all have that nostalgia bug in us, and we see stuff that reminded us of the first time we fell in love with them, and that's what they're marketing to, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I check out the back seat, make sure it's big enough.
You do that with your men and your cars, don't you? Jim is on the line calling from Chicago. Jim, you're on with Tom Appel. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I worked in the retail end of the car business 20 years, and I think, they push leasing more than buying in some respects, because you got to go back. If you go back, say, 50 years ago, the amount of time you could take out a loan on a car back then was 24 months. So, an auto manufacturer had a chance to sell you 5 cars within 10 years because you would have full equity after 2 years. You had the car paid off. Then it went to 3 years. Now it's 5, 6, 7 years. You have no equity in that car if you try to trade it in 5 years. So now they only got one shot of selling you a car in maybe a decade, because you're buried upside down in the trade for 84 months, where at least you can go 36 months, you're out of the car. So in 10 years, you could have 3 new cars.
Yeah, that absolutely works. It's a question of keeping shoppers coming back, and in the case of at least coming back to the same dealership if they're lucky.
Yeah, and the only thing, when I sold cars, I would cringe at people who would take a 60-month or 72-month payment out, knowing that they're putting 30 or 40,000 miles a year on the car, and you want to dump this car in 3 years. What kind of value is a three-year-old car with 120,000 miles and you owe $9,000 or $15,000 more than what it's worth?
It's bad math. It won't work.
Yeah, but there's something to be said when you finally do make that last payment. If it's still running, you feel like you won.
You won, yep.
Exactly.
So true.
Buyer beware.
Jim, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Caveat emptor, exactly. As we say in Latin.
Excuse me?
I just like to speak Latin for no reason at all, Wendy. Southwest Airlines is considered in the airline business to be the gold standard somehow. They're the airline that's doing everything right. In the car business, Tom, who's doing everything right now?
Who's doing everything right?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is a big question. And you see a couple of things going on here. And right now it's the domestic makers. You've got General Motors and Chrysler and Ford have recovered in such a monumental way. You actually have Chrysler not able to build enough Jeeps. You have Ford not able to build enough Ford Fusions. And Chevy's having a hard time building Cruises. And one of the interesting things about the Fusion, too, is that the average transaction price on a Ford Fusion right now is $2,300 more than a comparable Camry.
Really?
Really?
That's crazy.
It's a big difference.
And that smells like success to me.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, your shopper's actually pointing up and paying retail. For these cars.
Is the minivan era going to come to a close sometime soon?
No, I actually want one.
Do you want a minivan?
I don't really want one because I don't want to be a soccer mom. I want to be a rocker mom. But, I mean, some of these vans, these minivans are unbelievable. And if you have kids that have friends, you don't want to have to take two cars if you go somewhere together.
It's true. And yet, I've told you this, Tom, when you were on the night show with me, that day when you're buying a minivan, it feels like you're surrendering. It feels like I've held up a white flag and saying, I've given in. I'm buying a minivan.
They're cooler now, though.
It's like the day you took all your LPs and put them away.
It is. It's the same
feeling.
I still have them,
but, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think the minivan is going away. What's happening with the minivan is that the market shrank. And you have a few key players, and they're selling fully loaded, more expensive versions of those vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see anyone advertise an $18,000 minivan anymore.
Yeah, they're up there.
Yeah. They push 34, 40. And they're generally fully equipped, and they're fantastic vehicles.
And it's surprising that some of the more respectable car companies who you would never in a million years would think would go the route of the minivan, at some point they go, yeah, we'll give it a try. We'll throw out a minivan model.
Scooby-Doo knew what was going on with the mystery machine, I'm telling
That's true.
Yeah, there's only a few key players that actually work it, though. I mean, Honda and Toyota and Chrysler own that market.
Yeah, they do.
There's almost no competition.
There was a car that I saw online, and I sent you a note saying, please talk about this, because I never saw anything quite like it. It's a car called the 4Joy. Explain away. What is the 4Joy?
The 4Joy is smart, and everyone knows smart for the little 4.2, little two-seater that's buzzing around. Smart is about to do some stuff that people need to pay attention to. They just launched an electric car, and they've got a four-seat car coming out. So they're being active again on the auto show circuit. So the 4Joy is a concept car that's introduced in Frankfurt this week. Actually,
Germany, not the southwest suburbs. No, okay. Germany.
That would be weird.
It would be weird. If they sent it to the wrong Frankfurt, people would go.
There'd be no media there to cover that.
Nothing. Yeah.
Frankfurt, Germany.
Right.
And it's essentially a four-door vehicle with no doors and no roof.
And no trunk.
And no trunk, yeah.
Can you survive in an accident in these smaller cars?
No, this is just, well, 2 points. This is just a concept car. They won't build this. But the Smart 4.2, the crash tests, which you can see on YouTube, are fabulous because the car survives so well. But because it's so short and so small, there's no crush zone, the car will hit the wall or hit the barrier and bounce off of it because nothing absorbs the energy.
It's like you're all of a sudden in a pinball game.
Yes, it is.
And you're the pinball.
Yes, it is. Wow. That's exactly right.
Don't tilt.
Now, the practicality of this, though, is what? Think about this. So many cars where they would want to market this would be cold weather. Like, you couldn't sell one in Chicago, a car with no doors. You'd freeze.
A snowball. It'll be like a rolling snowball.
Yeah. How do they get around that?
You wouldn't want to drive it today. Yeah, we will never see a car like this. This is actually the Smart 4Joy. People can see lots of pictures of that online. It's sort of a foreshadow of what their four-door vehicle is going to look like. That's due out at the end of 2014.
Oh, and that's not far off.
No.
They're close on this.
So if you could picture this with doors.
Yeah. Right. Just imagine.
Those hybrid cars are so quiet, though. I know that they can actually emit sounds for people that are blind that are crossing the street because you really can't hear them.
Yep.
Our neighbor has one, and if I'm out gardening and, you know, hosing down the plants, I can't hear them pull in at all.
Which is why we're going to see electric cars and hybrid cars make a small beeping noise.
Oh, will they?
Noise at low speed, just for that reason.
Yeah, because people have complained and said it's too quiet. Did you ever think you'd hear that? This car's too quiet. Nicole wants to talk to you, Tom. She's on the road. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Hi, good. You guys were talking about minivan.
Yeah.
And I have almost 4-year-old twins. From the moment I found out I was having twins, I was excited to get a minivan one day. I still don't have it, but I was driving a beautiful Monte Carlo, and the fact that I'm now, like, dying to get a minivan is astounding to me, but I want one so bad.
We've changed, Nicole, haven't we?
Yes, it's so sick. Right now I'm driving, actually, a 91 Toyota station wagon.
Oh, nice.
80,000 miles. I'm like, this thing's never going to die. I'm never going to get my station wagon.
But, Nicole, you know what I mean, right? At some point, you're saying to yourself, I never in a million years would even look at a minivan, and now you're anxiously awaiting its purchase.
Yes, now I'm drooling. I cannot wait for one of our cars to die so I can get my minivan. It's really sad.
Well, Nicole,
it's sad and happy.
What will help tremendously is, you know, we can hear the kids now. They'll be way in the back so you can't hear them.
Right. Put a partition in like a taxi cab.
She's waiting for that.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Nicole. Take care. Bye. You know what I mean, though. As you're in the dealership, you're looking at minivans going, I'm looking at minivans. What has happened, you know?
My wife and I just eagerly bought a station wagon.
Did you really?
Well, they've made a comeback.
Yeah, they have. Actually, station wagons are very Euro chic right now.
Uh-huh.
And I actually like them a lot. But it's still not something I thought I would do at any point in my life.
Did you pay the extra $250 and have the wood paneling put
we
on the side?
We had that. We had an AMC Hornet, not a Pacer. We had
the Hornet. I remember those.
Roundabout or Sportabout, I think is what, and wood paneling. Taxi cab yellow.
Pretty.
It was awesome.
That's pretty. That's a nice car.
I have an anniversary coming up, so I could get the car wood trimmed from the
wife.
Oh, she's listening.
You just ruined the surprise. Tom Appel will be with us from time to time to discuss all things car related. His website is cgdailydrive.com. Visit it. You will love it. Great to finally meet you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. I'm looking forward
to
doing this
more. And where are these donuts from? I'm sorry. I really do want to keep junk in my trunk as we've been promoting.
Oh.
I mean, this is the best donut I've ever had in my life.
These are from the Pride of Palatine, Spunky Dunkers.
Spunky Dunkers.
Spunky Dunkers.
I want more junk in my trunk. Could you pass me one?
Spunky Dunkers is your answer. Thanks, Tom. Stick around. We've got news next and then more ahead. It's Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff on WGN. It is Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. We are here until noon, and then Bob and Marianne take over. We've got some great stuff to give away, Wendy. The 2013 Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. Here's what you get: a pair of tickets to the sold-out Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. It takes place at the United Center on Monday, September the 16th. You can watch the Blackhawks in action as they take to the ice at the United Center for the first time since winning the 2012 Stanley Cup.
They won?
I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Why didn't anyone tell us that? Enjoy a team scrimmage with head coach Joel Quinville. I call him Coach Q. That's my nickname for him.
A lot of people do, Bill. You know, not just you.
You can cheer on the rollerbladers and the runners as they participate in the Mad Dash to Madison and celebrate the official start of the hockey season. Doors to the event will be opening at 5 p.m., with the first 10,000 fans in attendance receiving a Jonathan Toews bobblehead.
Oh.
That's not bad. That's
you just
nice.
Tipped it in for
yep.
me.
Visit ChicagoBlackhawks.com for all the details. So how can you win a pair of tickets with us, with Wendy and Bill? Well, it's easy. TV Guide just did a thing. I read it yesterday. It's called the 60 Greatest Catchphrases of All Time. They've gone through television's history, and they have figured out what are the most recognizable of all the catchphrases.
60 of them.
60
what a weird
of them.
Number to get at.
Yeah, why wouldn't you go 50 or maybe 100? I'm going to tell you some that are way, way, way down the line. If you give us a call at 312-981-7200, again, 312-981-7200, you have to call in on this because there's a prize involved. We can't do it to texters, sadly. And you can guess what one of the top 10 are, then I will give you, Wendy and I will give you one of the pairs of tickets to the 2013 Blackhawks training camp. Seem fair?
Seems very right. fair.
So
can I take some of these from
yeah,
you?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I will tell you some of these as we're waiting for the calls to line up. See if you can identify them. Wendy, who used to say this on television? Or actually, maybe they still do to some extent. We've got a situation. Whose catchphrase was that?
We've got a situation.
We've got a situation. Who would say that?
I don't know.
This is one that baffled me, too, because I've never seen it. From Jersey Shore, Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
Oh, see, that makes sense, but I've never watched it either.
See if you can get this one. Bazinga. Who would say bazinga?
Bazinga! Screech.
It was not Screech from Saved by the Bell. No. It was Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory. He would often say,
"Bazinga!" I don't watch that either.
Bazinga! This is one I don't watch either. Boy, it's I'm such a TV addict.
And we should have done the top 50.
We should have scratched the last time. Who would say this? Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. There's no way you're going to get this one.
I have no idea.
The gang from Friday Night Lights.
Never saw it.
Me neither.
I watched Thursday Night Lights.
I know you'll get this one. I think you'll get this one. Everybody Lies. Who used to say that?
Fox Mulder, X-Files.
Nope. He would say the truth is out there.
Yes.
Everybody Lies was House, Gregory House from House.
Never saw that.
Everybody Lies. All right, here. This is one of the easiest ones ever. You're going to get this one. You're fired.
That would be the guy with the hair, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump would say you're fired on The Apprentice.
I got one.
You got one. So far, you're one of six. Who would say this one? Dude. Now, this could be attributed to a lot of people. Remember Eric Severide used to say that on the news all the time, NBC News? Dude. Eric Severide, what are you saying?
Dude would be on, it could be on that 70s show.
They would say it on there, right? Kelso used to say it on there. They attribute it to Hurley from Lost. He would say it in almost every episode.
Oh, yeah, I guess, dude.
All right, let me give you one more. Well, this one's too easy. Is that your final answer? Is that your final answer?
You sound like Regis.
It's Regis Philbin, right. All right, give us a call at 312-981-7200. If you can give us one of the top 10 phrases in TV history, the most recognizable catchphrases, you'll walk away with a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. We will start out with Bob. Bob, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing on the ones I gave Wendy, Bob? Were you doing okay on those?
No, not so much.
They were tough ones.
All right, how about this one? Because this one's easy. Oh, my God, they killed Kenny.
Do you know who said that?
That's the Cartman thing there with the
from South Park.
Yeah, South Park. Yeah,
that's right.
Like that.
All right.
Just real quickly, would either of you know this one?
What?
Holy crap!
Yeah.
Would you know that?
Do you know it? Say it, Bob.
Yeah, that was me this morning.
That's what I was going to say. It's Bob from Countryside. That would be the father from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, I guess. But I watched that show, every single episode of that show, and that did not
ring out. Oh, he says it a lot.
I guess.
Bob, take a guess. What do you think one of the top 10 are?
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Now, that one might be tough because it was used in a Wendy's commercial.
not on a TV show.
Well, the TV, they would show it on TV. That did not make their top 10, though. I think because it falls more under the commercial bracket.
I can't believe I got through and I still didn't win.
Bob, you know what? Because
that is
you were good in the day, Bob.
But
no, I don't want him to walk away empty-handed because you had good ones beforehand. Stay on the line and we'll get your information. We'll get you a pair of tickets. Does that seem all right?
That's terrific.
All right,
it's the sold-out Blackhawks Training Camp Festival.
Yeah. Uh-oh, hold on a second.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
You still learning how to work the phones?
Yeah, the phones here are tricky ones. You got to press one button to say hello. You got to press another button to hang up. Two buttons. Who has the time? Right now he's on hold. He's still not on hold.
This isn't the most entertaining part of my day.
Bob, are you still on
air?
All right, don't do anything.
I don't know how.
Neither does Bill.
Neither of us do. All right, hold on a second. Now, is he on hold now, or did I hang up on him?
You did it. You win. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets
to the
Blackhawks Training Camp Festival.
You know, in dress rehearsal, where I'm sitting, they had a monkey do this, and the monkey pulled it off in dress rehearsal, and now for the show, I can't do it.
Oh, my God.
Just keep hitting buttons.
Oh, God, that is amusing to me.
Let me see if Henry can, A, answer our question, or, B, figure out how the hold system works on the telephones. Henry, how are you? How's it going?
Good. It's good. I won't touch the phone thing.
Thank you.
How about up your nose with the rubber hose?
Immortalized by the fantastic Vinnie Barbarino on Welcome Back, Kotter. Am I right or am I right?
You're right.
Absolutely.
I think you're right.
Whoa.
All right. For reasons that I can't fully understand, but then I can't figure out the phone system, that is not on the top 10 list of most recognizable phrases. I don't know why. It should be.
You know what it should have been, though?
It should be.
It should have been.
Probably because it's too old.
What? Okay.
When? Yeah.
That's what it should have been.
Yep.
Because Mr. Woodman actually set up your nose with a rubber hose more.
Did he? Than Vinnie Barbarino?
I don't know.
It didn't make the top 10. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thanks anyway, Henry. Take care. Bye. Well, Welcome Back, Kotter had a bunch of those, didn't they? Didn't they have a lot of catchphrases? I'm scared to say anything
because I don't want to.
You don't want to blow any of the answers, the correct answers?
Not that any of them are from the Sweat Hogs.
Well, Let's see if Todd can answer our question. Todd, we're trying to figure out the top catchphrases in TV history. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. What do you think? What made the top 10, do you think?
I'm torn between, I got two from the same character on the same show. I'm going to go with, you guess. Don't have a cow, man.
Well, that's Bart Simpson. And what's your other one?
They either that or iCarumba. iCarumba.
All right. I'm going to help you out with this a little bit. There's a phrase from The Simpsons, but it's not from Bart Simpson. It's from Homer Simpson that was number two on the list of the most recognizable catchphrases in TV history. So I've given you a little bit of a clue. It's Homer. What is it? This sounds like our boss's meeting the day they hired us. All right, so here's what you'll get. A pair of tickets to the Blackhawks Training Festival. Stay on the line, and if I can figure out what button to press, Todd, you will win those tickets, okay?
It's all good. Thanks, all right, I also had one from a movie. It was too high.
Oh, yeah, that's I don't know who said that, but they were a cinematic genius, whoever it was. Stay on the line, Todd. Hold on.
Initials BL.
That was, that was my line from Major League.
Can I tell you, while you were trying to figure out the phones, I have now figured out that I have access to sound on my computer.
Is that right?
That guy's still on here.
Yeah, I know. The buttons are out to get
Sony,
me.
Sony, don't say anything.
Hold on, we'll figure it out. He's going there. So now.
Oh, my God.
Don't lose me.
Is it still you, Todd?
Yeah, don't lose me, please.
No, we won't lose you. If anyone gets lost in this, it'll be me. Hold on a second. We'll figure this out. Ben, the engineer, is here. Ben, I want to hit this, don't I?
Yeah.
All right.
The big giant button that says hold?
But I did that before and it didn't work. It worked now? All right. All right. Ben has to stand by it for it to work. That's how it works.
Ben, stand by me. You know.
It all makes sense. Is he
still
on the air? Ben, come back here. He's still on the air.
Let me do this.
Yeah. Enjoy being part of the show. Thanks.
You should have clocked in today, Todd. You would have got a couple hours worth of work on this. Hold on. We think we figured it out. Hold on. Ben is hitting it. You got it now?
Oh.
Now, Ben's an engineer, and he can't figure
it
out.
This is a bad sign.
You owe us an apology, Wendy.
No, I'm just so glad I can play audio for your listening enjoyment while Bill is figuring out the phone.
Oh, man. Shouldn't it be the one that says hold, Ben? It seems like it should be. All right, we're hitting it. The button, I mean.
Thank you very much, guys.
You know what I mean. Cut it out.
I like it in the afternoon.
I will turn this car around.
But I don't know how to.
Where the steering wheel is. All right, Todd, are you still on the air?
Yeah.
Todd, I know this is cryptic, but give us the last two digits of your telephone number because that's all we need, and then you're free to leave. What are the last two digits?
It's not a joke, really. Our producer has to be able to grab this phone call so we don't lose.
04. All right, you're going to get a lot of prank phone calls eventually now, Todd. All right, thanks very much.
You're hitting it.
All right, let's do this.
Still on the air. You could turn the pot down.
But what if Todd only has a two-digit phone number? Then everybody will know how to reach him.
He's going to be awfully busy.
All day long. People are going to call him now. All right.
This is the most amazing scientific experiment.
But it's not just me. Ben has been an engineer here since 1916, and he doesn't know how to do it. It's not just me. All right, two things are going to happen. We're either going to come back and give out more tickets to the Blackhawks training camp, or Mike McConnell will be back in just a little bit. Stay where you are. It's WGN. Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you look awfully pretty today. It's Wendy Snyder and it's Bill Left.
Gee, Beaver, you can't work the phone.
No, I cannot work the phone.
So let me try it. What line should we go to?
You pick, whoever you want to speak to.
No, just tell me. I can't see that.
Number five. Here's the premise, everybody. Over at TV Guide, they have figured out what the greatest catchphrases in TV history are. If you guess what one is in the top 10, we've only had one in the top 10 so far. Todd, our last listener, figured out, made the top 10. It was number two. If you guess one of the other nine, you'll walk away with a pair of tickets to a really fun event, the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. All you need to do is give us a call at 312-981-7200 and then use your patience because I'm having a hard time figuring out the hold button. Wendy, you're going to take over on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do this. You want to talk to line five, Tony's in Indiana. Hey, Tony. Oh, now, see, I put him on hold. I put him on
hold. Not so easy, is it, Bongo?
Bongo?
It's my monkey name.
Hello?
For you.
All right, Tony. Sorry, that was just, I was trying to make Bill feel better.
Yeah. Hi, Tony.
No, that's okay.
You want to take a guess? What's one of the top 10 catchphrases of all time on television?
I'm going to go with one of my favorites of all time. What you talking about, Willis?
A classic, right? Gary Coleman's finest work ever. It was number 5 on the list.
Yes.
You win.
Very nice, Tony.
What you talking about, Willis?
That is awesome.
I sometimes go to the Sears Tower and I say, what you talking about, Willis Tower? Just for fun. I just do
does
that.
Does it answer you back?
It never does.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, Tony. I'm going to try to, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. Congratulations.
Did that work?
Thanks.
Tony's still there.
Am I still here?
Yeah. All right. Hang on.
See?
All right. I'm going to do this.
These
see, but
phones
I followed
sabotaged.
Your lead.
No, you can't
Sabotage.
Blame me. There's a giant button
right,
that says
Tony,
hold,
hang on.
And when you
okay.
hit it, it doesn't hold.
Congratulations. Hang on.
Okay. All righty.
Damn it.
I know. Because the.
Oh. I am just going to.
No, don't swear. Do not swear. There's
all
kids
right.
listening.
Well, Tony, you're on with everyone. You're on with Bob and Marianne coming up at noon.
No, you
you'll be on with
have to
Gary
stay.
Meyer.
That's good. I'm about to get off. I got really, you know.
All right.
About my work day's over, so I got plenty of time.
Yeah, the rest of the day's your own.
Right,
thanks,
cool.
Tony. I lost him. All right.
Oh, so you know how to hang up on people.
I know how to hang up on people. I just can't put them on hold. Kathy's in Glen Ellen. Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
If you're anywhere near the downtown area, Kathy, please come in and explain how to work the phones for Wendy and I, because we can't figure it out.
It's always a mystery.
It's terrible. Kathy, you want to take a shot? What are some of the most recognizable catchphrases ever on TV?
I only have one.
Which is it?
Yada, yada.
Yada, 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 yada. And that was said by Elaine, I believe, on Seinfeld, right?
That's right.
She said that a couple of times. That is the number 3 most recognizable phrase in TV history. Very, very nice.
Congratulations. You're going to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival, United Center, Monday, September 16th. Coach Q will be there, as Bill calls him. They're going to do a scrimmage. It's going to be so fun. So hang on. Or actually, don't hang on.
Don't hang on. We have your information. We will find you. I guarantee it.
Okay.
All right? Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye. WGN has now hired psychics. If people call in, and the psychics will go to their home and deliver whatever prizes they win, because you and I can't work the phones properly. That's what it's come to. You want to take Mike in Antioch?
Yeah, but just wait until Bob and Marianne try to use
They
these
will not
phones.
Be happy. They will not be happy. Mike, how are you?
Mike,
how are you doing, Bill?
Really good. You want to take a shot, Mike? What do you think is one of the most recognizable catchphrases ever on TV?
Yeah, I got 2 from the same show, and it would be, hey, or I found my thrill, I'm on Blueberry Hill.
So the first one was Fonzie, because he would say, hey, all the yep. time.
Second one, Richie Cunningham.
Yeah, that was his song yeah. of choice, right? All right, I am looking through the top 10. Believe it or not, neither of those. There's no phrase from Happy Days that made the top 10.
I can't believe okay. that.
It's not fair, is it? It's an injustice. You know what? Because of the phone problem today, I'm in an extremely gracious mood. We're going to get you a pair of these tickets. Does that sound good to you?
I found my thrill.
That's what I like you to hear, Mike.
Oh,
that's perfect.
Sit on it.
All right. That was that on Happy Days? Did
yeah,
they say
wasn't
sit on it?
It?
Yeah, that was on Happy Days,
yeah.
right? All right. Stay on the line, Mike. Oh, don't stay on the line. It'll confuse us.
No,
we have your information.
We're hanging up on everyone today. WGN.
We'll talk to you later. All right. You're right. That was Sit On It was
yeah,
from.
Yeah, Sit On It, Patsy.
Jeff has.
I still got it.
You still got it. I got a million of them. Jeff is on the line. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hello there.
Jeff, we're a little confused in the. Oh, go on.
Nothing. I think I'm confused, too.
We're all confused. Oh. That's what brings us together. Give us one of the TV greatest catchphrases, and you'll win a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks training camp. What do you think?
Could it have been a movie that went to TV?
No, they're all TV shows. There's no movies on the list. Why? What were you going to guess? What was your guess going to be?
I was going to go with Fonzie.
No, Fonzie was on TV.
Yeah. But he took my...
Oh, did he guess the same one? Well, guess another one real quick. Do you have a, do you
just
have time to guess
anything.
Another one, really?
How about Don't Be So Hard on the Beaver, from Leave It to Beaver.
That one did not, believe it or not, that one did not make it. Ward, Don't Be So Hard on the Beaver did not make the list. A nice try, though. Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
And you did not get tickets.
That was subliminal. Did you pick up on
yes,
the subliminal?
Yes, it was
yes.
not subliminal. It
yes.
was right out there in
it
the
was
open.
Blatantly
no,
subliminal.
Yes. Oh.
Judy's in Schaumburg. Hold on a second. There you are, Judy. Judy, take a stab at it. What do you think is in the top 10 for the most recognizable catchphrases in TV history?
You have to understand I'm kind of old.
That's all right. Wendy's getting there, too.
How about one of these days, Alice?
Bang, zoom. Yeah, you're going places, Alice. You know, it made the top 50, but it did not make the top 10. But I'll be honest with you, Judy, you seem like a nice person, and I think we should give you tickets anyway. You are a nice person. Awesome. You can verify that? Wendy, the vote is yours.
Well, yeah. I say Judy's going. You're a Blackhawks fan, right? She's going.
You're going, awesome. Judy. The tribe has spoken.
Thank
all right. I tied that in. All right, Judy, we've got your information. We'll talk to you about those tickets. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
Take care. Bye. She didn't sound old to me. Did Judy sound old to you?
No. Do I sound old?
Yeah.
You don't, okay?
Because my voice hasn't changed yet.
Yeah, I know.
Once my voice changes, you got something else going on. Hold on a second. We have to take an emergency phone call. Bill the Engineer on line special. Hello,
hey,
Bill. How are you?
Hey, Wendy.
Hey,
what's
Bill.
Up, Bill? What brings you to town?
Well, I know what the secret is with your phone thing that's going on.
What is it?
Okay, when you've got people that are on screen hold.
Yeah.
And you're and you've got other people that are on the air.
Yeah.
When you hit the hold button, it doesn't know what you want to do.
Okay.
Like if you want to put a screen hold person on the regular hold or the on-the-air person to go on to hold.
All right.
So you'll probably see, if you like, if you try to put me on hold right now.
I just did. Oh, my God, you know
you're
me too
there.
Well.
Yeah.
First you have to hit the hold button, and then you have to hit the line that you want to go to hold.
All right. Bill, thanks so much. You've just won a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival.
I put him on hold.
Well, we'll talk to him off the air. We'll get his information.
Excellent.
That's fantastic. All right.
He'll be sorry.
Do I have time? Can I get one more? I want to give away one more pair of tickets. Let's talk to Dan. He's in Countryside. Dan, thanks for hanging on. You're going to be our last contestant today. What do you think? Give me one of the top catchphrases from TV. Win a pair of tickets.
Here's Johnny.
Guess what? Number one most recognizable phrase of all time, Dan, was here's Johnny, Ed McMahon's arrival for Johnny Carson at the beginning of every episode.
Do you want to hear a drunk here's Johnny?
Let's hear it.
All right, we got a drunk one.
Go on.
And here it comes right about, oh, forget it, there's an advertisement.
That's all right.
I'm still figuring this out.
Dan, we've got your information. We'll send you the tickets. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. You're very, very welcome. All right, Bob and Marianne are making their way in next. Stick around. It's Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff on WGN. In studio with us right now, Bob and Marianne. I'm going to warn you guys right now, the phones are haunted.
Wasn't that Herman Munster how he used to laugh?
Dude, yes, it was. It was
with, you know, stomping his feet.
That was it. That was
Lily.
I would just go outside on Michigan Avenue here and talk to people. Then,
that's the best way to do it.
Instead of the phone. By the way, do you have your shoes in the freezer? You know about this. My Uncle Irving swore that on hot days like this, if you just kept your shoes in the freezer, or I guess, was it the freezer or the refrigerator, Marianne? I think it was the freezer, for a few hours, then you slip into those ice-cold shoes and you'll be cool all day.
That's genius. Died of pneumonia, by the way.
So it worked.
High five,
my sister.
Bob won't tell you.
There was some other. It was a foodborne illness from the shoe. That
sure, it
has
to be
some food in the fridge. But you had to bring that up, didn't you?
Sorry,
Wendy. Did you hear yesterday? I was really asking for you about 12:30 yesterday. Because Marianne was bringing up things I really didn't want to talk about. And I thought maybe if you were still in the building, you could come in and finish the broadcast.
Yeah, they had to do with S-E-X.
Oh, why don't
you? I want
to
spell
can't
in
say
front
that
of
word.
Me. I
but
can
why
read,
can he
I can
talk
read.
About sex with me and not you? That's what
no,
I
No, he
understand.
Thought that you would just like follow along and not talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I want you to check with me, Wendy, before you leave the building.
All
okay?
right.